Exposing free speech to free minds. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's the 13th of September, year of our Lord 2021, day 548 of the New World Orders. And today we're going to take a look at what is happening in Australia, New Zealand, what they're planning here. Interestingly enough, there's a little bit of an ease back in the UK, but don't think that you're done with that yet. They've still kept their authority in. They're still going to be running this through the businesses. No word about whether or not they are going to use the same types of corporate coercion that the Biden administration is doing. But the Biden administration, and we didn't talk about this a great deal on Friday because of 9/11, and there's some follow-up to that as well. But the Biden administration is talking about more that's coming. Yes, they said stay tuned. So stay tuned, and we'll tell you what these people are up to. We'll be right back. All right, we're going to begin quickly with some news before we get into more information about the mandates and other updates. A lot of letters from people that we're going to try to get into, and a personal story from one of my friends back in North Carolina, COVID, ivermectin, other issues. But let's begin with this story here. A scorned wife raids her ex-husband's cryogenics lab and steals frozen brains of people who had hoped to be brought back to life. Subtitle, Frankenstein Robbery. And it does sound a bit like Young Frankenstein. I imagined some of those brains were labeled Abby Normal. But look, this is a story of people who had paid thousands of pounds to somebody. Pull up the picture, Travis, of these individuals here, if you've got it. And just ask yourself, are these the type of people that you would put your trust in for eternal life? I don't think so. So she, in a chance of getting revenge and basically destroying her husband's business and what was remaining of any credibility, she stole that. Now, this is in Russia. It is Russia's leading cryo storage facility. And again, you know, the big problem with this scheme is that your chance to come back to life and to live eternally is that there's the two people in there and their high-tech lab that's going to give you eternal life. I'm sure that you could, you know, make everything look nice and shiny and you could spend a lot more money on it and it could be a lot more convincing, because it certainly does convince people like Jeff Bezos, probably Bill Gates. They think they're going to live eternally. Certainly, Ray Kurzweil does. Ray Kurzweil and his transhumanism thing. He thinks it's going to happen in his lifetime. He thinks he's even going to bring back his father. But it's yet another lesson as to who and what are you going to trust? Right? Think a little bit about that. Do you really want to trust man? Do you really want to trust technology? How about Fauci, Collins? They've got a lot of credentials. You want to trust them for your eternal life? Because that apparently is what people are doing. Give me the vax and I'll never die. And we'll talk about that coming up here. But then the question is, who stole this guy's brain?
But it is the kinds of things, or, you know, stuff that's coming out of Florida, stuff that's coming out of, you know, Robert E. Lee had been in Afghanistan, we would have won. No, anyway, I'm telling you too much.
Yeah, I think I would go with Robert E. Lee over any of the generals that Biden has. And I think we would have won, because I think Robert E. Lee would never have gotten us into a foolish war like Bush and these other people have done. And then, of course, Biden has sent Congress, his administration's policy writers, quote unquote, reports at Stephen Miller, for the government funding bill, the continuing resolution, they include, now you may not have eternal life from your brain being stored somewhere, but if you're an Afghan coming to America, unvetted, unvaccinated, they do give them ivermectin, you know, that horse pill stuff that they keep mocking everybody about. No, they take that seriously as human medication, because it is. It won a Nobel Prize for human medication. And it's actually part of the prescription. They are giving it to all the people coming. They're giving them ivermectin. No word as to whether or not they're giving them vaccines or PCR tests or any of that stuff, but they are going to give them also lifetime welfare and a path to citizenship. For every unvetted Afghan national that Biden has randomly flown or will fly into the U.S., along with all of their relatives, as Stephen Miller points out. And then, I don't know, well, we do know about Biden's brain, but I don't even know about his brain trust. I mean, who is writing the scripts for these guys? This is what another guy had to say about inflation.
The context here is the focus, the appropriate focus on the question of grocery prices and the increase in grocery prices that we have seen recently over the last couple of months. And if we unpack that, one of the interesting findings of the report that we put out today is that about half of the overall increase in grocery prices can be attributed to a significant increase in prices in three products, in beef, in pork, and in poultry. And in beef and in pork, we've seen double-digit increases in prices over the last couple of months.
There you go. That's kind of the Biden administration's equivalent of let them eat cake. Yeah, you know, if you unpack your groceries and you look at the tab, it's just the meat stuff. So just buy more cake mix, right? Unbelievable. That's the way they count inflation, the same way they count COVID cases and Delta cases and unemployment, flu cases. Well, this doesn't work. Let's throw that out. Let's bring something into the mix that's going to make our narrative look good and support it. If you got a rapidly inflating cost of meat, of real food, you know, they want you to eat the stuff that the real food eats, you know, the lettuce and things like that. But if you got a big increase in meat, or you got a big increase in the price of your home, or you got a phenomenal increase in the price of cars or even gasoline, just throw that out. Yeah, and that's fine. You just don't count that. Don't count that. Yeah, let them eat cake. In Canada, it's now become a thing for them to actually have book burnings. And we get into Afghanistan. I've got an article talking about how much the Taliban hates musical instruments. They're going around smashing up grand pianos. I guess we left grand pianos behind in our wake as well. I seriously don't think they had grand pianos before we went to Afghanistan. But we left them behind, and they're now smashed to bits. And when you look at the people, and of course over the weekend, one of the reasons I want to get back to 9/11 briefly is because of the comments of George W. Bush, absolutely outrageous. You know, now we have seen 9/11 turned into, you know, 1/6. Isn't that kind of interesting? You know, I was thinking about that. If you just kind of take 9/11 and you rotate it, turn it upside down, and merge the two ones together, you get 1/6. Heads and tails, right? Except really, it is, it's not the Twin Towers. You know, there were three buildings that fell. But it is the twin false flags. One of them fell back on 9/11. The other one really didn't fall even on January the 6th. That's when they pivoted to us. The other false flag really was Dark Winter and the bioweapon pandemic. It took 2 decades for that false flag tower to fall. But when George W. Bush points to all of the people who are conservatives, I won't even say Trump supporters, because there were people there at January the 6th that weren't necessarily Trump supporters. They were there trying to speak to people who were, you know, being misled by this guy, trying to get them focused on what really matters. You know, you had
people from the frontline doctors. You had Edmund Bundy was there. He said, you know, certainly he doesn't care about Trump one way or the other. But it's like, hey, guys, you know, we got to do something to get back our liberty that was taken last year. So there's a lot of reasons that you would go there to address a large political crowd other than just being a, you know, Trump cult member. But certainly what Bush is doing is he's trying to say that this was, you know, a threat that was equivalent to mass murder that happened under his watch, probably under his supervision, on September the 11th. And I'll just leave the probably in there to be polite. I don't think there's any probability about that. It's a certainty in my mind that he supervised that to alter our society. But he it makes an equivalence between those two. And points, they continue to say that we, conservatives, people who, as Bush calls us, are nativists, that we're somehow the problem. When in reality, it's these people that keep prattling on and on about multiculturalism and diversity. They're the ones, the Antifa, the BLM, the Marxists. They're the ones who are looking more and more like the Taliban. Because in Canada, as Jonathan Turley points out, educators in Ontario have now held a, quote, flame purification ceremony, unquote, to burn roughly 5,000 books. The schools officially videotaped the celebration of the book burnings by students at 30 schools with the announcement, quote, we bury the ashes of racism, discrimination, stereotypes in the hopes that we will grow up in an inclusive country where we can all live in prosperity and security. I do hope they grow up. I do hope that something happens in these schools to get these people out of their profound ignorance about history and about the folly of burning books and the even greater folly of following people who would do such a thing. He said the announcement even has a type of Maoist Cultural Revolution feel to it. A spokeswoman for the public French-speaking Catholic schools of Ontario told the National Post newspaper, symbolically, some books were used as fertilizer. What is truly chilling, says Jonathan Turley, is the Orwellian call for children to burn books in order to be a more inclusive country. Yes, that is doublethink, isn't it? And as they're burning books, we're told that we cannot burn fuel. Interesting, isn't it, that fuel rhymes with fool. The road to decarbonization, visualizing the U.S.'s electricity mix. And this chart, a story by Zero Hedge, this chart shows on a state-by-state basis how they generate their energy and how much of it. And they said natural gas accounts for 40% of the electricity in the country. Nuclear counts for 20%, and coal counts for 17%. So coal is way down. That's the one that they want to focus on. It's less than nuclear now. But then they go through and they make up a graphic and they say, well, non-fossil fuels make up 42% of the U.S. electricity generation, except that includes nuclear, which accounts for 20%. So they say, oh, 42% is non-fossil fuel. But 20% of that 42% is nuclear. The biggest sources of renewable electricity in the U.S. were wind at 8% and hydro at 7%. So 15% is really, plus you've got a little bit there for solar. But the rest of the 80%, these radical environmentalists want to get rid of. What is society going to be like when you've got 20% of the power that you have right now? Well, we got a little bit of a glimpse of that in Texas, thanks to our renewable insanity. Yes, it is renewable, isn't it? As we've seen the last year, they keep renewing the insanity over and over again, whether it's about the lockdown or about its bizarro twin sister, climate change. Texas generates 12% of the U.S.'s total electricity last year. California generated less than half, even though it's got a bigger population. And actually, California generated less power than Florida and Pennsylvania. And that is the future that they want. They want to have nothing generated for you, no power. And if you look at cheap electricity, it is not just an issue of lifestyle quality, but it has also historically been a metric of life expectancy as well. They're trying to strangle us in every possible way. Taking everything from you doesn't just mean your bank account, your car, your home, your meat. It also means your power and your energy, I should say. Our political power seems to have gone a long time ago, doesn't it? Which is why they're doing this. So we're going to talk a little bit about how to push back coming up. U.S. military court has ruled that the bump stock is not a machine gun. Should we tell Trump? Should we tell the Trump supporters? Remember, he banned the bump stock because he said of the Vegas shooting, which was absolutely not involved in that Vegas shooting. Yes, people died. I'm not going to repeat the lies that Steve Pachinik tried to dump on me in my program shortly after it began about 3 years ago. No, actually, it's 4 years ago. Wow, time flies. 2017. Got him banned from my show. Such an underhanded liar he is. Just unbelievable. Unbelievable. But, hey, he gets lots of views, so keep inviting him back, right? But he tried to dump that. And then, of course, eventually Trump said, well, I'm going to do this by executive order. That was a very, very dangerous precedent based on a lie about what actually happened there. Again, people died, but the bump stock was not the cause of it. And I'm not going to go into the details again on that because I've talked about that a long time. I've got a lot to talk about with what is currently happening. However, here's the key thing. This is a U.S. military court, and they've now ruled that a bump stock does not a machine gun make. On September the 9th, the U.S. Navy Marine Corps Court of Criminal Appeals ruled that bump stocks are not machine guns. The case was the U.S. versus Ali Alkazag. I don't know how to pronounce that. It ends in HG, so your guess is as good as mine. Anyway, let's just call him Ali. This is a big win for gun owners and reaffirms the fact that items that are not machine guns, by legal definition, cannot be classified as machine guns simply because the ATF, quote-unquote, feels like they meet the definition. Well, the reality is that it wasn't the ATF that felt like it met the definition. It was Donald Trump who felt that way because the ATF had never done that. They've never banned bump stocks, even under Obama, but they did it because Trump wanted it. For political purposes. It's one of those things that made about as much sense as banning vaping. Anyway, Private Ali was in Hawaii on a Marine Corps base. While there, he was convicted of possessing two machine guns in violation of the Uniform Code of Military Justice. These quote-unquote machine guns were in fact bump stocks. Ali's defense argued that the bump stocks did not meet the legal definition of a machine gun. And here is an excerpt from the decision. This is an article, by the way, on Zero Hedge. The decision from the military court said, instead, the president, that would be President Trump, instead, President Trump directed the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms to issue a new interpretation of a rule that contradicted the ATF's previous interpretation and governing legislation from the 1930s. This executive branch change and statutory interpretation aimed to outlaw bump stocks prospectively without a change in existing statutes. In other words, he did an end round around the law, around Congress, not just around the Second Amendment and the Constitution. Every gun control law, and let me repeat this, every gun control law, everything, every background check, every limitation on what you can own as a firearm, every one of those is a violation of the Second Amendment, even though the powers that be pretend that it isn't. Every one of them, and you and I both know that, is a violation of the Second Amendment. But in the past, to violate the Second Amendment, you'd have to get a majority of Congress to agree to violate the Second Amendment, which, again, is not the same as amending the Constitution. It's still unconstitutional, still illegal, these gun control laws. But Trump took it to a new level. Trump set the precedent that he could do it by executive order. And, of course, Biden is working to do that now with the braces that, for the most part, have been something that are used by veterans who have had limbs shot off or removed from foreign wars. And so braces now are in the crosshairs as well by executive order by Biden. Kamala Harris said when she was a candidate, she said, I'm going to tell them to get rid of all guns, basically. She didn't say exactly that. But I'm going to tell them to do gun control limitation. If they don't do it in 100 days, then I'll do it by executive order. Where did she get that? She got that from President Trump. The court went on to say, essentially laying out the fact that the ATF bypassed Congress to create the law. And I won't read you the full decision, but that is exactly what happened. Trump set up a very dangerous precedent. And he didn't stop with that. He set up a dangerous precedent with vaccines, saying that medical exemptions and religious exemptions would no longer be allowed for students. You know, you love to hear, these people love to say, well, we've had vaccine requirements in schools for a very long time. Well, we also had religious and medical exemptions along with them until 2019, after Trump got back from Davos. And they made their push to get rid of that, to set that as that. That was very important for them to do that. And it's very important for Trump to weigh in on it as well. Yes, it was set up for quite some time. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk about the mandated shots, Trump shots mandated by Biden, and the fact that there is more to come when we return. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and Trovo every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show, at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via or donate via Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box. Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country as well as our family.
Elvis.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
And the sweet sounds of Motown. Find them on the Oldies channel at APSradio.com.
All right, let's talk about what is happening. As we had Biden on Thursday, and it kind of rolled out a little bit on Friday, everybody was talking about it. I talked about it a little bit, but I spent a lot of time on 9/11, so I want to get back to what is happening, because that was just the introduction of his unconstitutional tyranny that he was putting out there. But as he's doing that, in UK, they're doing exactly the opposite, apparently. They've now dropped the vaccine passport plan. And you have the guy who's kind of their vaccine czar, although they don't call him that. They call him UK Health Secretary, Sajid Javid. He says, what I can say is that we've looked at it properly. And whilst we should keep it in reserve as a potential option, I'm pleased to say that we will not be going ahead with plans for the vaccine passport. Notice that he says they're going to keep it as a future option, because they will never give up the power that they've usurped. These health bureaucrats and these corporations. The health secretary added that the government shouldn't be doing things just for the sake of it, because others are doing it. You mean just for the sake of the World Health Organization and the CDC and other people like that? And it's not that this is copycat. This is a conspiracy from the top down that's being rolled out. And the reason, we'll talk about the reason why Boris is pulling this back a little bit, but here is a report from the UK.
The British government's abandoned plans to introduce so-called COVID passports in England and will take steps to end some of its emergency powers that were enacted to fight the pandemic. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson will formally set out on Tuesday his plans to manage the crisis in the winter months. Johnson's under fire from some in his Conservative Party for raising taxes to fix a health and social care crisis. Health Minister Sajid Javid said on Sunday that he did not anticipate more lockdowns and that the COVID vaccine passports would not be introduced in England. Under the plan, people would have had to use the passes to prove their vaccination status to enter some venues such as nightclubs. The government will depend instead on vaccines and testing to defend the public. Javid also told the BBC he was not, quote, anticipating any more lockdowns, but would not take the measure off the table, and that he wanted to end PCR tests for travellers as soon as possible. The Nighttime Industries Association trade body, which represents the nightlife business, welcomed the U-turn. Britain has one of the highest official COVID-19 death tolls in the world, but its vaccination rate is also high. Latest government figures show 80% of adults have had two vaccine doses.
Okay, so Boris is scrapping plans for vaccine passports, or is he? Is he just putting them on the shelf? Again, what they were going to be doing was rolling them out as they are in France right now. They're rolling them out in France, really locking everything down. So Macron and Biden are continuing to lock things down for vaccine passports. Boris is going in the other direction. They were going to have them, as you heard, for nightclubs, for movie theaters, for sporting events by the end of this month. The prime minister said that he is going to abandon the proposed compulsory certification scheme, which would have forced all these venues to check people's vaccine status. The move represents a significant concession to Tory backbench rebels. In other words, his own party is rebelling against him on this, and rightfully so. And so he is easing up, just as we saw him ease up when between 500,000 and 1 million people marched to the streets of London. He immediately said, all right, we'll have a Freedom Day come July. And then come Freedom Day, he says, but we will roll out these vaccine passports in September. And now after he's faced opposition from his own party, he's saying, all right, we're not going to do that, but we're going to keep that option. And they've been lying about this from the very beginning. They would go through and do all the, you know, would leak out that they were putting together their vaccine passport, setting up the digital software and the applications, and wargaming it. That word would leak out. They would deny it. Oh, no, it's not happening. And then it would leak out again, and then they would deny it again, and then they would come out and say, no, we are going to do it. So you can't trust any of these politicians is the bottom line. The only thing that's going to stop them is pressure, public pressure, political pressure. We're not getting much of that here in the United States, frankly. There was a big outrage on social media about Biden saying that he's going to make this compulsory for small businesses. And we have now some politicians who are finally, this is the only thing that has really awakened most of these politicians to push back. Most of them have been AWOL. Now, some of them haven't. You have DeSantis who has pushed back on some of these elements. But key things have been left out everywhere by these Republicans when they do it. So you have places like Texas where they say, well, we're not going to have mask mandates or vaccine requirements by the governments, but then they would leave it there for the businesses to do it, that type of thing. Or they would say, as I read into this, there is nothing here that says that a company can't fire you in the UK if you don't get a vaccine. This is talking about having to show identification in order to get into a venue. And again, they haven't completely killed this. They said companies that already demand proof of vaccinations will be able to continue. See? So they're going to leave it up to the company. So they're not going to, it's a different thing to say we're going to mandate it versus saying we're going to allow corporate coercion, because it's always been corporate coercion. And what Biden is doing is he's coercing the corporations to coerce you, which is perhaps a step too far for people to wake up. I think it may wake people up. But it has always been the plan to run this through the corporations. He's just kind of drunk on power, really, and figures that he can get away with just accelerating this a little bit more. So they said they're going to have a new toolbox of measures, that they will introduce masks and home working only if the rates soar. So again, they're leaving it there. This has always been the plan. As long as we do not take this power from them, they will continue to wield it in an arbitrary and capricious fashion to shut our lives down whenever they wish. And they will continue to do damage to our societies, to our economy, to supply chains, to everything else, as long as they have that power that they grab, that scepter. If we don't rip it out of their hands, they're going to continue to do this over and over again. Like I said before, it's like a light switch. They turn it on, they turn it off. They turn it on, they turn it off. And again, I had to try to, some guys, well, where does it say that's a light switch? One of my coworkers at InfoWars was like, are you kidding me? Seriously, you don't really see this? I mean, it was from the get-go. Javid added that he instinctively does not like the idea of people having to show passports to do basic things. And that's exactly what we're talking about. But he loves the power. And they will do it to the extent that they can get away with it. So they're saying no more COVID lockdowns. Says, I'm not anticipating any more lockdowns. But I think it would be irresponsible for any health minister around the world to take everything off the table. See, the power that they have will never be taken off of the table until you take it off. And many of these backbenchers of the Tory party, the Conservative party, who are putting pressure on Bojo, still don't buy it. DailySkeptic.org, headline, The End Is Not Nigh. Tory MPs fear a return of plans for vaccine passports. They've laid all of the structure, the foundation, the applications, the databases, and most importantly, they've laid down the precedents for their power. Just like I was talking about before, you know, the precedents that were established by Trump to say, we're going to remove all religious and medical exemptions for students to go to school. Or to say that we're going to have a precedent of gun control by executive order. And he got away with it, again, because organizations like the NRA said, well, bump stock, that's not important. No, it isn't important. It really is not important. That particular thing is not important. It's the precedent. We had the Boston Tea Party. It was not over the idea that the tea tax was oppressive. The tea tax was very small compared to most of the taxes that we tolerate today. But it was the principle of the thing. The idea that they could impose taxes on Americans without them having any say. And the idea that these people can impose lockdowns and vaccine mandates and passports and the rest of this stuff without us even having a say through elected representatives, as comical and as banana republic as our elections have become, that principle is still important. And so we have not only regulation, taxation without representation, we have regulation without representation. It's the principle that matters. So some backbenchers in the UK have pointed out this leaves the door open for the introduction of vaccination checks a little further down, potentially this winter. Of course it does. The government should go even further than taking vaccine passports out of their quote-unquote reserves. They should ban them altogether, says Telegraph cartoonist Bob Moran, because, quote, so many businesses and events are going to impose them, regardless of the so-called rollback by the government. Because it was always about the corporate coercion. Again, all these people talking, well, you better hope that Trump gets in because Biden is going to mandate it. Biden mandates it to the people that are under the executive branch. Unfortunately, that's the military. They use a carrot and stick approach to bribe people with money, which is why I say, this all began with the release of cash and the declaration of a national emergency that released the Model State Health Emergency Powers Act, which had been enacted into law in a lot of different states. That was all released by that executive order. So it's the money, the bribery, telling corporations, if you do business with the federal government, you won't be doing that business with the federal government unless you get your employees vaccinated. That kind of enticement, bribery, carrots. But he can fire people that are under the executive branch, which is a massive amount of individuals. But for the rest of us, it'll run through as corporate coercion. And that really is the way that we have had our free speech taken away. Finally, some of these Republicans are going to come back and try to fight that. But because they have been so supine in their non-resistance to corporate censorship, then I think they're going to have a bit of a problem with that in the courts, even if the courts were honest. So, yeah, it's always been about corporate coercion. It's about rule by corporations and public health dictators, and they will continue to do whatever they wish. So do not be fooled by these headlines from the UK. Nothing has essentially changed. They have other ways. You know, they're going to say, well, we're not going to require it. The corporations will require it, but they're going to indirectly reward or punish these corporations to get them to do what they want them to do, the same thing that is happening with our free speech. Denmark, meanwhile, has lifted all COVID curbs, but of course they haven't taken the power away from the bureaucrats, who can reinstitute that as they wish. The WHO is not happy about this. Every country, they said, needs to remain vigilant, and as when the epidemiological situation changes, you need to reimpose this stuff. That's exactly where they are. So let's take a look at the U.S., after the U.K., they have, for the longest time, you know, this came out over the weekend. This is a good supercut from Grabian, news.grabian.com. Don't worry, we would never impose a vaccine mandate from candidate Biden, Nancy Pelosi, and all the rest of them. And this is not years old either. I mean, what Nancy Pelosi says at the beginning of this cut is from April 2021. And the other clips that are in here are just a couple of months old as well.
We cannot require someone to be vaccinated. That's just not what we can do.
Needless to say, the right of women to make decisions about their own bodies is not negotiable.
No, definitely not. You don't want to mandate and try and force anyone to take a vaccine. We've never done that.
Our interest is very simple, from the federal government, which is Americans' privacy and rights should be protected.
It is a matter of privacy to know who is or who isn't.
We don't want to be mandating from the federal government to the general population. It would be unenforceable and not appropriate.
Perhaps the federal government should step in and issue mandates, and if not, are you putting the needs of unvaccinated people ahead of the needs of vaccinated people?
Well, I think the question here, one, that's not the role of the federal government.
No, I don't think it should be mandatory. I wouldn't
demand. More do you need to see? We've made vaccinations free, safe, and convenient. The vaccine is FDA approval. Over 200 million Americans have gotten at least one shot. We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin, and your refusal has cost all of us. So please, do the right thing. The progress we've made and the work we have left to do. And it starts with understanding this. Even as the Delta variant COVID-19 has been hitting this country hard, we have the tools to combat the virus. If we can come together as a country and use those tools, if we raise our vaccination rate, protect ourselves and others with masking, expanded testing, and identify people who are infected, we can and we will turn the tide on COVID-19.
Okay, so you get the idea. Back in, just as recent as I said, in April, Pelosi was saying we cannot require someone to be vaccinated. That's just not what we can do. She said, so if we could, but we can't require vaccinations for the members, you know, that club that you ain't in. Yeah, they still have their exemption. Members of Congress and all of their staff, those members, part of that club is not going to have any vaccine requirements. But you and I and the rest of us and everybody else who works for the federal government, no. But she said, we can't require vaccinations for the members, much less for the American people. She said, some people will say, don't come into my store unless you're vaccinated, this or that, and it causes a commotion. But, you know, hey, that's the way they're going to roll it out, is through the some people who say you can't come into my store. Yeah, my store. We don't have mom-and-pop stores anymore. She also said, it's a matter of privacy to know who is or who isn't vaccinated. I can't go to the Capitol physician and say, give me the names of the people who aren't vaccinated so I can encourage them, or make it known to others to encourage them to be vaccinated. So we can't. We just can't do that. They can violate our freedom. They can violate our privacy. Biden, going back to way back to December 2020, he said, I don't think COVID vaccinations should be mandatory. He said, and as you heard in that clip, and, you know, it's not just Biden and it's not just Pelosi, but it's also people like Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro, who said we need to have mandatory vaccinations. Now he is taking a little bit of a different tack, at least his publication is. So I guess now Ben says ban? No, he's not saying ban yet, exactly. I like the comments that one person put out. They said, so the Navy fires offensive coordinator after losing to the Air Force and starting a season 0-2. Meanwhile, nobody has been fired over losing Afghanistan. Yeah, that's where we are. Biden announces a slew of new rules to combat the Delta variant. You see, they're not done yet. You've got, here's some of the new rules that they're going to be putting out. They're going to have, besides the mandates that are rolling out to corporations, they're going to have the booster program. It's going to be rolled out by September the 20th. They're going to keep schools safely open, they said, including a new vaccine requirement for Head Start. Go all the way down to Head Start. Preschool, kindergarten, staff right now. But they're going to do it to the kids who have no risk from this. By the way, I've talked about babies who had blood clotting issues, babies who died shortly after their breastfeeding mothers had the shot. They would go into tremors. One particular case, the child stopped the tremors just about a week before the mom went in to get the booster shot, and then it started right back up again. I forget if that baby was one of the ones that died or not, but I saw a video clip maybe we'll show it to you tomorrow. It's very disturbing. It's a young baby in the crib just going through all the tremors, uncontrollable, that it got from its mother. So, yeah, let's take it all the way down to the babies. Let's take it down to the kids in kindergarten. That's where they're headed. Increasing testing, requiring masking. They're going to ramp up the number of tests made because everybody's going to be, you know, they've got tens of millions of people to live their lives. They're going to try to wear us down with either firing us or having us test constantly. By the way, too, if you have a situation like that, I would suggest that you try to push back against these nasal tests, as I've shown you those swabs before, and realize that they can also do it by saliva. They did it. First time I noticed that was happening was at the Cannes Film Festival in France for the elites. They can do the same testing with a saliva. And they're not requiring in many of these cases now that you stick the swab all the way up to your brain. But nevertheless, I would suggest keeping the swabs out of your nose and just spitting on them when they tell you that you got to be tested, or into their containers. Improving COVID-19 treatments, including a 50% boost in the weekly shipments of ivermectin? No. HCQ? No. No. Something else that shares a great deal in common with these vaccines, and that's monoclonal antibody treatments. Not only is it very profitable for big pharmaceutical companies, but it has some of the many of the troubling aspects of these vaccines as well. I'll talk about that at another time. I don't want to get into that just yet. But notice that it is always a pharmaceutical product that is patented and very expensive that they will shove you to. This is not about freedom or personal choice, said Biden. It's about protecting yourself and those around you. No, it is absolutely about freedom, and it is absolutely about choice. And they're going to do more to take those choices and freedoms away from us, as Jen Psaki brags.
To use your word, how bold is the president willing to be as far as the private sector is concerned in the vaccine mandate area, even if they don't have federal contracts? Can the Department of Labor or anybody else compel major employers, large employers, to force the vaccine mandates on their employees?
Yes. Stay tuned. More to come this afternoon.
Yeah, we'll see about that. Certainly they don't have the authority, but if your employer wants to play along, you know, if a big corporation and they want to do it, or even a medium-sized corporation, they are true believers because they watch CNN, you have a couple of options. You know, you can refuse to work for somebody like that. You can try to challenge this, but the employers are not going to challenge it. And they do not have that authority. But just as I was saying earlier about firearms control, look at how many firearms regulations there are. None of them pass constitutional muster. So these people can get away with a lot, can't they? And you have the Surgeon General, as we have these surging rules here. Vivek Murphy says, this is an appropriate response, that Delta gave us a curveball. So blaming everything on Delta. Again, they're not testing for Delta. The National Association of Equipment Manufacturers that produce these test cases say we don't have them and they don't work. And, you know, people don't have the time to do genetic sequencing to determine which variant it is. And it's circular logic. They say, well, you know, because we're seeing a surge, it's got to be a new variant. And we're not testing, but we're just assuming that it's a Delta variant. And again, going back to their PCR tests, as the FDA pointed out, we got 59 different tests. We can't compare them to each other because they're all testing for something really different. Sometimes we took part of an mRNA genome. Sometimes we took the whole genome. Sometimes we synthesized it. But we didn't have an isolated We didn't have an isolated virus that we were testing for. So we just kind of made it up as we went along. And everybody's got a different thing that they're testing for and then magnifying it by a trillion times. So Surgeon General says, I think it's an appropriate response for us to recognize that if we want our economy to be back, if we want our schools to stay in session, if we got to take steps to make sure that workplaces and environments are safe and blah, blah, blah. He says a lot of businesses are actually relieved. Of course they are. It's giving them legal cover. For the longest time, going back to another parallel in the surveillance state that has been put on us since 9/11, you had companies were turning information about you over to the government, and they were concerned that they would be sued. This is the parallel, folks. If you go back and you look at potential lawsuits for companies violating your privacy by turning over information about you, and this was something that was there from the very beginning when you had the Frank Church committee hearings for the CIA, and you had the Pike committee hearings about the NSA in the House at the same time. They completely ignored the Pike committee. They focused on the heart attack guns and the assassinations in the Frank Church committee. But out of that came the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. And the reason this was happening was because AT&T and other evil corporations had been cooperating with the CIA and the NSA to spy on American citizens without a warrant. They did it way back in the days when they had landline telephones. And so they would give every bit of information that they would have. They would keep phone records and turn them all over. Every record that they had about you, they would turn it over. And so what they were doing was they were trying to stop that practice to some degree. But the Supreme Court was fine with it. They said that that is technically data that is owned by the corporations, even though it's data about you, and they can turn it over to them. And, of course, now we have the situation with social media where people are putting data about themselves and about their political opinions or religious opinions and all this sort of thing. They're putting that out publicly so everybody can go through and write a program. Anyone can write a program and scrape personal information about you off of all the social media websites. And when they wanted to go even further with geospatial intelligence, they started trying to push through CISPA. And then they had other versions of it. They had SOPA, ACTA, PIPA, both the U.S. government and the European government. And they were able to defeat CISPA several times. As a matter of fact, Aaron Schwartz was very key in that. He was framed by the feds, even though, you know, he logged in and got some information off of, he wasn't hacking a computer or doing anything to it in Harvard. But, of course, Harvard is deeply embedded into this fascist government, just like AT&T is, for example. And so even though the local prosecutor didn't want to do anything about it, the federal prosecutor did, came after him, and he was fighting it. And they said, well, you know, he committed suicide in prison. But this is a guy who had fought them consistently on CISPA. And when he committed suicide, and everybody started blaming the prosecutor, Ortiz, Carmine Ortiz, her husband came out and said she gave him an out. She told him that she would let him, you know, if he would sign this or that, that he could get... would just give him like 30 days in prison, and, you know, he's already done that. And he was defiant about that. This is not somebody that would have committed suicide. But after he was suicided in prison, they went ahead and they got their stuff run through. CISPA changed from CISPA to CISA, and they just took out the P. The P was about protection, but the protection was for the corporations. And it was protection from them being sued. And so I tell you that whole story just to come back so you understand why they're doing this with the vaccine mandates and why the Surgeon General, Murthy, would say a lot of businesses are actually relieved because now he has provided them legal cover. They can say, well, I had to. I was threatened with fines by the president if I didn't do this. And so the whole purpose... that this was always to run through the corporations. And the whole purpose of this executive order from Biden is to give them cover from lawsuits the same way that CISA gave these people who were spying on you and turning it over to the government, gave them protection from being sued. They understand that. And then, again, he also continued to say, Murthy, the Surgeon General, we're not done yet. More pandemic measures are coming this week. When it comes to mandating vaccines for travel, there are important issues around equity that would have to be worked out. So they're going to set up an apartheid system for travel. They're not ruling out, they said, vaccines or tests for any domestic flights. This was very clear from the very beginning. As soon as they started putting that on for international flights, I said they're going to do it locally. And when they took away the option of people testing negative and wearing masks to fly into the country, I said they are going. The only way that you can fly into the country is if you got vaccines. Unless you're coming from Afghanistan and you're unvetted and possibly a terrorist, they'll bring you in. But anybody else who comes in legitimately, a negative test is not enough. You must be vaccinated. And I said when they did that, I said the next step is domestic. And so now they're saying, well, we haven't ruled out that we'll do that domestically. They have ruled it in, folks. Fauci is calling all of this stuff, of course, moderate. I think the president is being somewhat moderate in his demands, if you want to call it that. And there's some people who really don't want to get vaccinated. They don't want to lose their job, so we're going to take it from them. Right? Stop and think about this. Under Hillary, you know, Hillary, when she was campaigning, she said we were deplorables. Trump, in 2020, said we were not essential. And now, under Biden, if you were unvaccinated, you were unemployed. That's the rule. And oh, by the way, we could also say you are untouchable. You're like the lowest level of the Indian caste system. Members of Congress, however, they're part of the club and their staff exempt from the Biden vaccine mandates. Do you think that maybe they ought to be the ones who are unemployed? At the least, I think so. Yeah, members of Congress and their staff are exempt from this, reports Newsweek. They said Biden's order on federal workers applies to employees of the executive branch. The House of Representatives and the Senate belong to separate legislative branches, and the courts to the judicial branch of the federal government. So, you know, people in Congress, the court system, they don't have to worry about any of that stuff. And that's one of the reasons why they don't stand for our freedom, because they're part of the club. One of the things that I think was most distressing is over the weekend seeing that the Southern Baptist Convention and their International Mission Board is now mandating COVID vaccines for all missionaries and their children all the way down to the age of 16. Think about that. Think about the fact that they're removing any medical or even religious exemptions with the Southern Baptist Convention and their missions board. What message does that send to people? It's absolutely amazing to me to see how corrupt these organizations are. And let me explain, because a lot of people think that the Southern Baptist Convention is, it is not as consolidated as some of the other denominations are, or as the Catholic Church is. In other words, like you've got denominations like the Methodists and the Presbyterians, where they own the building. You know, they pay for a building to be built and to plant a church or something like that. And they own that. And so when they have a situation like they're currently having in the United Methodists, where there's a big debate over whether homosexuals can be married or whether transgender can be a pastor. I mean, this is happening now in the Evangelical Lutheran Church. They just had their first transgender bishop, which is kind of strange because, you know, it's he's still biologically a man, even though he thinks he's a woman. So it's like, is that technically a violation? This guy's completely jumped into the Sodom and Gomorrah camp. But so when you have these types of situations, there are some churches in the United Methodist group that do not want to go the LGBT route. But then it becomes very difficult for them because then, you know, they've got all these different financial ties to the denomination. The Southern Baptist Convention is just a convention. And so what it is it's people coming together because they agree on certain common things, one of those being the missionary situation. And so they come together in these different autonomous congregations will contribute voluntarily to certain things. And they might have, you know, a widows and orphans fund. They might have retirement plans for pastors. They might have, and a big part of it is the missions board. So it's a different thing. It's not exactly a denomination. And there's a wide variety of where people are on some of these issues that have come up that the Southern Baptist Convention has so far managed to avoid putting a written statement in, but their leadership has made it pretty clear where they stand. And so that's made things shaky. But now we get to the mandated vaccines for all the missionaries and their children, 16 and older. Prior to attending a stateside conference, during their periodic return to the United States, they must be vaccinated. The policy also requires staff members who interact with field personnel have to do that. And the policy is now effective immediately. The mission board of the Southern Baptist Convention says that they are just adhering to the precautions recommended by the World Health Organization and the CDC. They said, while we're aware that we will invariably cause some missionaries to quit as a result, we're prepared for that option, because it's more important for them to follow the recommendations of the World Health Organization and the CDC than it is for them to spread the gospel. Because they're worried that somebody's going to spread something that we know now is not a pandemic. It's there's something serious going around, but it can be easily treated. And the vaccine is not a treatment. It's neither safe nor effective. But they don't care. These people, this mission board, is going to do what the World Health Organization, CDC, says. So just keep that in mind when you're looking at what you want to fund. They will continue, they said, to seek the Lord's wisdom. Will they? A comment by Christianity Daily says, in other words, for the gospel to be advanced, the mission board says complying with the new policy is a must. You know, we've had a lot of plagues over the centuries, over the millennia. And churches didn't close down. Pastors didn't fold. As a matter of fact, the bubonic plague was going through Europe at the time Martin Luther was a pastor. That killed, by some estimates, 50% of the population. He wrote to friends, he said, well, you know, we're going to do what we can to fumigate the place and everything, but we're not going to stop doing what we do. If somebody is sick and they call me, I'll go. He wrote at the time, you know, the thing that song that he's famous for is A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And he wrote it in the midst of the bubonic plague. And just listen to the first two lines of that song. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark, never failing. Our helper, midst the flood of mortal ills prevailing. Midst the flood of mortal ills prevailing. The bubonic plague was happening right then. That was a real pandemic. It was an epidemic, but it was spread out over a lot of different countries. It was real. People were dying left and right. And he says we're going to stay steady in this, even though there is a flood of mortal illnesses, illnesses that will kill us. We're not going to back down. I don't want to have anything to do with a missionary organization that is interested in spreading the bad news of the World Health Organization, the bad news of the CDC, and the power of Davos and Bill Gates. And they're more concerned about that than they are about spreading the good news of the gospel. I'm done. I'm done with that. I would never give them a dime. Unbelievable. We can't risk death to spread the gospel, says the missions board of the Southern Baptists. And no religious exemption for their people, no medical exemption from them either. And, you know, going back to January, it was an op-ed piece. You know, Al Mohler, who is head of one of the biggest Baptist seminaries, and it is identified as a Christian, conservative seminary. The Southern Baptist Theological Seminary was in Kentucky, and Kentucky Today published his op-ed piece that I read to you back in January. And Kentucky Today says that that op-ed piece that he wrote and put on their site is still drawing very high readership 8 months after publication. They wrote a story about how many people are reading what Al Mohler wrote. And Al Mohler, if you recall, said things like, well, this is about science, and science is God's tool to help our lives, and this is like a moonshot. This is in January. Nothing was known about the vaccine's efficacy or safety at all at that point in time, although we were already getting massive reports from the VAERS database. And he dismissed out of hand any moral concerns about the ethical contamination of these things by abortion. He just dismissed that out of hand. Just like the Pope, just like Franklin Graham. He just dismissed that out of hand. And yet, he wrote an op-ed piece on Friday. This is not an op-ed piece, but it's a quote from him on Friday, saying that Joe Biden is, quote, a profile of moral collapse for his changing stance on abortion. Really? He said, Biden's progress from someone who declares himself to be personally pro-life, but then supporting abortion limits, to a politician who now fights common pro-life measures, such as a ban on the public financing of abortion. In a detailed piece by Al Mohler, he said it is a profile of moral collapse. Well, I think we can see the moral hypocrisy of both Biden and Al Mohler, can't we? And what Al Mohler does in terms of embracing pharmaceuticals, pharmakia, that are cannibal medicine, that are the product of people who are using and engaging in transhumanism. I mean, they're not only using the products of abortion to create these medications, research for all of them, as well as manufacturing from some of them, but in terms of the research, they're also using transhumanism. They're using humanized mice to test these. So they're using aborted babies and humanized, transhumanized chimera mice, part mouse, part human, to test these vaccines. And yet, Al Mohler calls it a miracle, a moonshot. And we should thank God for this, he said. And he's not the only one. We had Robert Jeffress, got a giant church up in Dallas. You know, he is infected with the Trump cult. He's got a bad case of Trump delusion. And, you know, anything that Trump says, we're going to cheer that. So, you know, Biden is out there saying, I do not vote for federal funding for abortion. I voted against partial birth abortions to limit it. You know, partial birth abortion is nothing but infanticide. It's the murder of a baby. Now, he doesn't want to end it, but he wants to have a little bit less of it. You know, that's the position. I mean, there's absolutely no wiggle room for a partial birth abortion. As he said, this is what Al Mohler said. This is a sad story, not just about an American politician's compromise. It's not even just the story of an American president and his political evolution, quote unquote. The story of Joe Biden raises important questions that we all must answer, including Al Mohler. How will we define when human life begins? And how will we stand on that conviction, no matter the choice, no matter the cost, rather? Yeah, I would ask that to Al Mohler. How do you define it? How will you stand on that? We just sweep it aside to encourage further use of babies as products for experimentation? We need to have fresh, not frozen organs taken from babies in more than half of the cases, the way they extract these things in order to not damage the organs, the way that they do these abortions. More than half of the babies are born alive. They're taking live organs out of babies. Fresh, not frozen. Contracts being done by Fauci's NIH, by the FDA, used to test these pharmaceutical products, used to make transhumanist mice, chimera. But it's a miracle. It is a moonshot, says Al Mohler and Franklin Graham and Robert Jeffress, and the Southern Baptists are mandating it. The seminary where Al Mohler teaches, the president there at the seminary kind of danced around all of this that Biden put out. He does not say that they're not going to enforce it. This brings up the other issue. Stop and think about this. We have queued up in Congress. It was the very first bill that Nancy Pelosi put through, H.R. number one, with the new Congress. And that is the so-called Equality Act. It's not about equality. It's about equity. That's a very different thing. This is the bill that would go through and would mandate all of the wish lists of the LGBT, especially the T, to say that if you have a private organization or the schools, you know, the schools will have biological males showering with the girls and so forth. But if you have a private school, especially even if it's a religious school, you will not be able to discriminate who you hire. It will get rid of any religious beliefs in terms of that type of act. So if somebody comes in, and believe me, they will. You've seen what they've done to florists, to photographers, to cake, custom cake makers. Somebody will come in, and they'll be dressed to the nines like corporate clinger, and they'll demand that they get a seat at the front desk of this private Christian school. And if they pass their bill, the so-called Equality Act, which is about equity, then they will say, no, you have to do that, or you have to close. Just like you got to get your vaccine or close. Well, you're going to have to hire the transgender person at your front desk, or you're going to have to close your church or your college. And if these colleges, this is any institution that has more than 100 employees. Think about the implications of this. All of these small Christian colleges who are saying, we're not going to have our religious beliefs trashed by the LGBT agenda, trying to rub our nose into the ground. If they go along with this vaccine mandate, and say, well, we're not going to stand on our religious principles, to say we're not going to have this vaccine. This is mandated by the government, so we're just going to do it. If they do that, they are laying yet another precedent for the government to mandate the wish list of the LGBT on them. That's really what we're talking about here. This is the precedent that is coming. So meanwhile, the president of that seminary where Al Mohler teaches, Southwestern Seminary, says, I respect the decisions of those who, for medical reasons or conscientious objections, have declined to be vaccinated. A government-mandated vaccination program of private businesses and institutions is deeply troubling. Regrettably, the president's actions will bring further division and polarization to a nation that is already profoundly divided. But he doesn't say that they're going to resist it. He says it's deeply troubling and it's divisive. But he doesn't say, no way. Right? He doesn't say no way. He doesn't say we have some principles and we're not going to jettison those principles because of a dictate by Biden. He doesn't say that. Well, this is troubling. Troubling. I had a letter from a listener, a very personal letter. I'm not going to read any names involved in this. But she says, I've never felt comfortable telling anyone that I had an abortion. Yet, I realize as a Christian, this has actually become an opportunity for me to use something horrible for something good in a way. Said she has a friend who was talking about the vaccines, and she was trying to explain to her objections to it. Anything that even comes close to using the products of an abortion. She said, the fact that these are old lines of fetal tissue, not newly aborted babies, for example, but the bottom line is the technology involved in saving lives are at the expense of other lives that have been killed, if in fact this were to work. She said, and if you do it on that basis, the same basis that Al Mohler and the Pope and Franklin Graham, all these people are pushing it, that legitimizes abortion if you stop and think about it. That's right. And she said, and don't get me started about the whole human fetal tissue marketplace. She said, when I was young, I fell for the whole line that it's just a bunch of cells and tissues at the early stage. She said, it wasn't until I saw the ultrasounds and decided to face honestly what I had done and to not hide behind scapegoats as I'd been doing, that I asked God again, but in true repentance, to forgive me. And I'm grateful that he did, and certain that he did. However, knowing what I know now about the involvement of fetal tissue and vaccine technology, I could never, ever partake in that, even if it meant saving my life, or the life of a family member, or the life of friends, etc. My first allegiance is to Christ, period. Where is this kind of conviction in people like Al Mohler, or Robert Jeffries, or Franklin Graham, or the many, many other people who have high positions and mega churches and big payrolls? So when you look at this, and again, this is a seminal lie, and I sympathize with this a great deal, and I understand, you know, the situation, because that was a line coming from everybody. I never had a situation where we had to think about that. But I was in the same place mentally, really, until 96. And that was the point at which I started questioning this whole, well, it's just a bunch of tissues, because when I was running for Congress, I kept getting hit with questions about partial birth abortion, which was a new thing at the time. And when I looked it up, I realized these people had an agenda, and they were probably lying to me about the other stuff. And I started looking at the other stuff. It's like, yeah, that's right, they were lying. It kind of, in a sense, what you see happening with ivermectin, for example. Why is it that the FDA is on this campaign to mock it as horse medicine? They know better than that. It's simply off-label use. It's human medicine. The pills are human medicine that people have found another use for. You know, Viagra was initially a medication that was developed for high blood pressure. I don't know if they ever approved it for that, but, you know, they found other uses for it, obviously. But the position of the FDA is that they approve something for, you know, you go through and you look at the safety profile doesn't change. It's just whether or not they approve it for a particular condition. And they have the position that they must specifically approve it for a particular condition. But that's a completely different issue from safety. And so when you look at this and the whole idea that it's just a clump of cells, it was something that had been sold to people in many, many different ways. Carl Sagan used to do that. He used to get on Johnny Carson all the time and you know, say, well, you're just going through the evolutionary stages, you know, at this stage. And that was based on a lie by Ernst Haeckel. And so when I realized that, I said to Karen, Karen was working with some pro-life groups. And I said, you know what they need to do? They need to all pool their resources and get better ultrasound because that's the thing that's going to show that this is a lie. And it ultimately did. It didn't come from them doing that. But now that we have 4D ultrasound and we can see movies and high resolution, National Geographic a few years ago, they took pictures of mammals at various stages. And so you could see a baby horse, you could see a baby, you know, a puppy, you could see a baby a dolphin, whatever. All these different animals that they would take ultrasound of. Elephant was one of them. Yeah, I remember going through and seeing the picture of the baby elephant, all the little tiny hair on its head, and they were marveling at that. Look, it's just like a little miniature elephant. Well, same thing's true of the humans, but you know, National Geographic didn't do that for the humans. National Geographic is doing a hagiography of Fauci. So getting back to this letter, as she said, I would never use that because I know how that is being used and how it is being used to legitimize this Nazi science. And she goes on to say, when we look at what is happening with these mandates, the mandate aspect of this, that no man might buy or sell, save that he has the mark, or the name of the beast, or the numbers of his name. She said, and this is really my position as well, I don't think that this is the mark of the beast, but I think it is a precursor. And so ask yourself, why would a missionary organization engage in training people to a precursor for the mark of the beast? Why would they say, not only can you not buy, sell, trade, or travel, but you also can't preach the gospel with our help somewhere else without getting this thing? Without the government injecting something into your body, and what will that be next, right? Will it be a tracking device that they inject into your hand? Well, you got to have that injection of whatever the government says you got to get, or you're not going to be able to buy, sell, trade, travel, or even preach the gospel with the help of these organizations. The good news is you don't need these organizations to preach the gospel. They've become absolutely corrupt. You know, when you look at our founding institutions, our universities like Harvard and Yale and Princeton and these Ivy League schools, they all started as seminaries. They didn't take them too long to go off the rails. And now they're seminaries again. They're seminaries of Satan. They're seminaries of Marxism. This is the path that human institutions always take. Whether we're talking about universities or we're talking about governments or we're talking about corporations, they all go this route. There's a life cycle to them. And we know what happens at the end of their life. They get very evil. So, certainly is a precursor. There's absolutely no doubt about whether it is the mark or it is training. So why are these pastors and these missionary organizations involved in training people to be a part of a beast system? The beast, the government. Will this isolate me? Yes, it already has in a number of ways. Do I like that? No. Does it matter? No, she said. Absolutely agree with that. Thank you. Another person talking about said, I was interested to hear you refer to the vaccine mandates as a beast system. And when I said that, I guess on Friday. If a health passport system is instituted, the physical vaccination cards won't last very long carried in wallets. You can't laminate them because you're going to have to, you know, got a dance card where you're going to have to get more and more and more and more of these things put on there. So I have to keep updating them. With all the new requirements from Fauci and the World Health Organization, the CDC, the people who are making profits off this are going to tell you, you got to take more of them. So you can't laminate it. So a natural solution is some kind of a QR code that is maybe identified with you. Certainly they've got QR codes and identification of your phone that you carry along with you in your hand. We've already seen how this is working in Australia. You have to check in and let them know. Every location has got a QR code at the doorpost, and you have to scan that and report where you are at any given point in time. So, yeah, we cannot comply with this, says Dave of Kentucky. I absolutely agree. This person, my status with the Navy as a civilian, I wanted to share some good news for a change. I just had a discussion with my commanding officer, and even though I'm a civilian, I still report to a military officer. This is a Navy captain. Short story is that he said he'll have my back in regards to not taking the vaccine and that I shouldn't be concerned about any career implications. That's great. We're able to get official guidance next week on September the 15th on how this will all officially play out. So he's still 2 days from getting official guidance, but he says, I'll be sure to share the official stuff once I get it. But finally, some positive news. And he quotes Proverbs 3. Have no fear of sudden disaster or the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared. So, you know, as we look at this again, it's the, as AP News is bragging about the fact we have anti-abortion faith leaders supporting the use of COVID-19 vaccines. This is something that they've been doing now for several months. Al Mohler, the Pope, Robert Jeffress, as I said, up in Dallas, he said the vaccines are, quote, a present from God. Yeah, this whole Trumpster thing has just become a dumpster fire, hasn't it? Unbelievable. Biden, meanwhile, in terms of talking about these vaccine mandates, says a Biden advisor, Cedric Richmond, says the president will, quote, run over, unquote, any GOP governors who resist vaccine mandates. Cedric Richmond said, those governors that stand in the way, I think it's very clear from the president's tone today that he will just run them over. And he said, we won't let one or two individuals stand in the way. Well, who is standing in the way? We have Christy Noem is saying, my legal team is standing by, ready to file our lawsuit the minute Biden files his unconstitutional rule. This is a gross example of federal intrusion that will not stand. Governor Brian Kemp of Georgia said his administration will pursue every legal option available to halt what he called a blatantly unlawful overreach. Governor Doug Ducey of Arizona said his state will push back against federal mandates, saying Biden-Harris administration is hammering down on private businesses and individual freedoms in an unprecedented and dangerous way. This will never stand up in court. He said the dictatorial approach is wrong, un-American. We will do far more harm than good. How many workers will be displaced? How many kids kept out of the classroom? How many businesses fined? The vaccine is and should be a choice. You have some other Republican governors. Kemp says he's going to pursue every legal option to stop this overreach, blatant and unlawful overreach by the Biden administration. Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt says, as long as I'm governor, there will be no government vaccine mandates in a state. Governor Abbott, Texas, said that they are already working to stop the mandate, quote-unquote, power grab. Alabama Governor Kay Ivey declared her intention to fight the mandate. Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon also issued a statement saying, not now, not ever. Tennessee's Governor Bill Lee stated his broad opposition. He said, the Constitution won't allow this power grab, and in the meantime, I will stand up for all Tennesseans. You notice that there's a partisan divide here. You notice these guys never were that clear when it came to the lockdowns and the bounties that were being handed out to people. Of course, you're still not hearing from some of the governors like Brad Little in Idaho, one of the worst of the Republicans, or DeWine in Ohio. They're not saying they're not going to stop this. You have Ben Sasse, not somebody known to stand up for liberty, but he says President Biden is so desperate to distract from his shameful, incompetent Afghanistan exit that he's saying crazy things and pushing constitutionally flawed executive orders. Well, I hope that the GOP will stop using Afghanistan for political purposes and that they will defend USA liberty. But instead, what we see is a lot of Republican governors saying, well, we need to go back and we got to do it right. A lot of Republican senators, congressmen are saying that as well. You have to understand and realize that these people are not doing this really out of principle. They're doing it out of partisan opportunism. We'll take that, though. And that's why I said I thought that it would be better for us, and I still believe that, better for us to have Biden in as far as these vaccine mandates go than Trump, because they all took a back seat. They all did absolutely nothing. While Trump had the reins, they did not want to criticize him. And now it's safe for them to criticize this. It remains to be seen whether they'll do anything other than try to score some cheap political points. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
Hear news now at APSRadioNews.com or get the APS Radio app and never miss another story.
All right, I want to read a couple of listeners' letters about both vaccines and vaccine mandates and relay a personal story from a close friend of mine back in North Carolina. But before I leave what Biden was saying, one of the things I looked at on Friday as the, and I didn't get a chance to show these pictures on Friday, was how the press reacted to this. And I thought it was absolutely amazing that as pretty much Twitter and social media was blowing up about these vaccine mandates, and of course conservative media was blowing up criticizing Biden for the vaccine mandates, even the people like Breitbart who cheer the vaccines incessantly said this is going to work against us. The same thing that New England Journal of Medicine was saying at the very beginning. We don't want to have these mandates because, you know, you're going to have due process challenges. We don't want to do that. So you're seeing the same line now coming from Breitbart. It's just get everybody to take the vaccine. You know, let's stop at the bribery and the lying. Let's not do the mandate, that step. But when you look at the way it was reported by, for example, CNN, look, I took a screenshot. This was Friday as everybody else was talking about the vaccine mandate. Nothing at all about the mandate from Biden. Instead, it says, you know, COVID-19 is just devastating people in poor rural areas. And then take a look at this headline from Politico. Same type of thing, right? Nothing at all about the vaccine mandate. And then when we go to USA Today, they have a little bit about it. but not the same type of thing that you're going to see on other sites talking about the other aspects of this. Biden pushes to get workers vaccinated. That's it, right? Politico completely ignored it, and they focused on Trump. CNN completely ignores it and focuses on rural Americans and how they're testing positive. It doesn't say that they're dying. So CNN attacks rural Americans. Politico attacks Trump. USA Today says, oh, well, you know, he's pushing to get workers vaccinated. That's a good thing. We want to get the noise. He's mandating it. You know, $14,000 fine. And hammering that. And then you have Reuters, which says, attacking anti-vaccine movement. Biden mandates these things. So, you know, it's just when widespread COVID shots. He mandates widespread COVID shots. That's the way the press is reporting this. You're not going to get any honest information from any of... And this is one of the reasons why this is rolling out. And it's one of the reasons why they begin the corporate fascist rules by coming after free speech first and the free press. They had to clear the decks of anybody who was going to have any reach or any impact to tell people something different than what they were going to be rolling out with their controlled narrative. I got this from a listener about the middle of last week, actually. I didn't get to it, but it's still very relevant here. Talking about, and he sent me a picture, a night picture, a beautiful picture of the Milky Way galaxy they took while he's driving. So I was listening to you while I was driving. I stopped and took this picture. But he is a MD. I'm not going to give his name. I don't want to get him in any trouble. But he sent an article from the New England Journal of Medicine about what happened with San Diego healthcare workers. He said this is a snapshot of the truth. What the New England Journal of Medicine said about these San Diego healthcare workers, it said they vaccinated 16,492 of them, 87% of their workforce. 87%. Now, remember, we were told, you know, Fauci kept saying, well, I don't know, you got 60%, 70, 75, 80. I don't know what the number is, you know. It's like, well, 87%. 87%. 94 of them got COVID. 1,895 workers were not vaccinated, and 31 of them got COVID. See? So, anyway, COVID cases jumped 19-fold in the vaccinated, proving protection only lasted a few months. The virus mutates every day. No vaccine will stop it. Both groups had greater than 98% chance of not getting COVID. No one died from COVID, and only one person even needed to be hospitalized. I asked the jabbed, how many lethal injections are you going to take? He said, your analogy of Russian roulette is accurate. You think about that, you know, right? You spin the barrel and take a shot. And if it doesn't kill you, you take another shot without spinning the barrel, really. Or even if you do spin the barrel, how many times are you going to be able to, you know, the 1 in 6 chance or whatever the number is? Why would you do that? Why would you especially do that to children who have zero risk of dying from this? Statistically zero. He said, I expect every family will have dead, jabbed members before this is over. 3 of my 5 children took it against my advice, at least 1 grandchild. My sister died after her shot. I expect to lose more family from it. This is a modern example of the extraordinary popular delusions and the madness of crowds. Absolutely is. And, you know, speaking of that, there's a video clip, I may show it tomorrow, of a young guy, looked like he was in high school, crying. I have to bleep it significantly, you know, for use on the show. Very upset and crying because his sister had just immediately died after getting a vaccine. He said, because she's working for the bank? She's got a job at the bank? And she takes a vaccine to keep that job at the bank? What job is there that's worth it? What job is there that is worth your life or worth getting a crippling disease that's going to make you suffer the rest of your life? You know, like the Green Bay Packer professional football player. His wife has now got the equivalent of MS. happened immediately after the vaccine, or the other people that they had in that presentation that he put together with Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. One lady, she's about middle age. Well, it wasn't even. I would say she was in her late 30s. I wouldn't even say she was middle aged. And she got the vaccine, and she said she was a little bit sick the first couple of days, and then all of a sudden her legs just gave out on her, and she hasn't had any use of her legs since then. And a doctor told her she'd just have to get used to never walking again, and she broke down and cried. What job is worth that? And I just ask you, if an employer is that contemptuous of your body, of your life, of your health, would that employer fire you just like that? Of course they would. You know, we don't have anymore a situation where you go to work for IBM and you stay working for them the rest of your life. I mean, that never really was an issue. Even when I was in engineering, people that went to work for IBM, way IBM loved to talk about the fact they never fired anybody. What they would do is they would shut down a facility and move it to another location. And they would tell people, you know, well, hey, you know, if they liked you and they wanted to keep you, they would pay your moving expenses. But if they would kind of like for you to go away, they'd say, well, you know, we'll have a position for you. Yeah, it might pay a little bit less because, you know, we're moving to a cheaper area and we're not going to pay for your moving expenses and so forth and so on. That's a pretty mild version of what's happening right now. All these different companies are using this to purge their payrolls. This is from a nurse, Mary. She says she's in Colorado, liberal Colorado, she points out. She says, I am a registered nurse who works at a major hospital. Yesterday, I entered a COVID mother's room with our postpartum unit, and this is her story. Last Friday, she was not feeling well, had aches, pains, flu-like symptoms. She entered the hospital complex. She was diagnosed with COVID and told she got it from her husband, who received the vaccine last March. She told me she thought she caught it from work, where everyone was vaccinated. The sad part is, 2 days later, she goes into preterm labor and delivers a 34-week-old baby who was transferred to the NICU. Tragic part is she can now not enter the NICU or see her baby over the computer for 10 days. And to add salt to the wound, her husband was told to go home and quarantine for 10 days. None of this makes any sense. Over the course of the entire time I was with her in the room, she never coughed. She never sneezed. She had recently moved from Brazil. And can't even imagine what she thinks about our culture. She said, we have a group of 50 nurses at our hospital that are refusing the vax. I have a signed letter from my priest, and I submitted that today, and I noticed that the email went to the same group of people who informed me that I had COVID-19 last November 2019, the week I couldn't walk after the flu shot. I am disgusted. Glad I applied for a Montana RN license. The population in the end will suffer. Because a hospital is only as good as their nurses. I love my job, but I feel sad about this. We have been raggedly treated, being thrown like garbage into the front lines with insufficient PPE, then being asked to use our PTO because the hospital was empty during the pandemic and losing money. In other words, paid time off. And again, do you remember last spring? Covered the demonstration in Raleigh, North Carolina. One of the people there pushing back against the lockdown was an RN, and she was giving a speech saying, they're cutting our hours. You don't do that during a pandemic. They're kicking everybody out except for COVID, and they don't have enough patients to fill this place. And then as she's talking, she, you know, I just got another text message from my supervisor asking me if I would like to take time off because they don't have a need for me. So she said, during the pandemic, we were losing money. They shut down surgeries. Now being threatened to take the vaccine or else. There is no silent threat of, quote, you will have to pay for your own biweekly swab. Nurses don't get very much, and this is a sorry situation. And then finally, this from Charlie. He says, at the Agent France Press website, AFP, right? where I get access to news articles. He says, this morning there appeared an article that had this headline, no milk or water, shoppers face shortages at UK grocery stores. That's right. And my wife went to Costco last week, Karen, and they told her at Costco that you're limited to bottled water of 2 cases, which is what they had signs up for. This is insane, but this is where we're headed. We have fast food restaurants that are shutting down because they can't get ingredients, shutting down because they can't get employees. This is absolute insanity as these gremlins. This is like something out of the Twilight Zone, you know, where William Shatner is looking out on the plane wing. He sees the gremlins just pulling the motor apart. I feel like William Shatner, you know, and I say, hey, look at this. Look what they're doing here. And the person looks out there, I don't see anything, you know, because they stop. I feel like this has been the last 548 days. I feel like William Shatner in the Twilight Zone. So as one person tweeted out, Common Sense MD on Twitter, in my 30-plus years of practice, I've never before come across a disease for which censorship was one of the main treatments. That's exactly right. Censorship is the main treatment, because censorship is what's running this financially incentivized medical malpractice. Oh, there was one more thing I wanted to mention, and that was a close friend of mine. We hadn't talked to him for a while, and connected over the weekend. A listener, supporter, and a lot of news from back in North Carolina. You know, all last year, nobody was getting sick or anything, but now everything is picking up quite a bit. Fortunately, my friend who listens, when he started getting sick, they traveled to California for an event that was out there and came back, and he and his daughter were sick. And so he got tested, and it was COVID, and he immediately got on the frontline doctor's website and got a prescription for ivermectin pills. And he said, and hydroxychloroquine, some things like that. And he was getting very, very sick. Began with some of the minor aches and pains and some other things like that, but it was starting to get very, very sick. So he got the medicine, got this prescription fulfilled right away. And he said, he was already, as I said, very, very sick. It had not gone into pneumonia. But he said when he took it, he just felt a kind of a warmth in his chest and just kind of expanded out. And he said he immediately felt great after taking it. He still has a bit of a cough, but it got him over the hump. You know, he had some high fever and some other things. Another friend who got it in a different way that he was in contact with. I've lost contact with this friend after moving to Texas. But the other friend of ours got it, and he was looking at it, and he said he looked at it, and the medicine, and the consultation, I think, is like $90 or something. But there might be some other ones. It's PushMed. I don't know which one they used. But the other friend looked at it, and he says, well, it's going to probably be about $300. And so he decided not to do it. He got very sick, got pneumonia. But now, you know, he eventually, the friend who listens to me, he used, they don't give you a whole lot of ivermectin, but he had some HCQ that was left over. He took that over to him, and that got him over the hump. But he still has the infection. He's got a Z-Pak, so I think he's going to be okay with that. And then third, we had a friend of Travis's whose father died. He went the conventional route, and things got worse for him. Then they put him on an invasive ventilator. I don't know if he was vaccinated or not. Do you know Travis was? We don't know if his dad. He didn't ask because, you know, you don't want to ask that kind of question at that point in time. He might have been vaccinated because Travis's friend was. And so I don't know if that was the case, but certainly went through all the financially incentivized malpractice moves, and he died on the ventilator. Which, if you go back, you remember the beginning of this thing. Remember how manic Trump was to get ventilators into everybody's hands. And it's like, this is really strange. Never heard of this before. Well, you got to have, 50,000 ventilators to Cuomo, and they're all sitting in a warehouse or whatever. We saw pictures of them not being used. But when they use them, testimony from nurses and from doctors, it's depending on who you talk to, but they're all saying 80 to 90% of the people die on those things. Now, that would indicate to me that they're not working too well, or that they might even be a cause of it. So anyway, if you have a surgery, let's say that you had a surgical procedure where 80 to 90% of the people died, would you still continue to do that? But that's where we are today. Breitbart, this is Nolte, and he is a big cheerleader for the vaccines, and he's upset about all these lies about ivermectin and other therapeutics. He says, the headline, media's lies about therapeutics are increasing suspicion of the coronavirus vaccine. We don't want to have any suspicion of the coronavirus vaccine. That's good. It's wonderful. You know, Breitbart, especially Nolte, takes the position of most of these Republican governors of Trump. Oh, everybody, get the vaccine. Absolutely got to get the vaccine. And they always, whenever he refers to this fake pandemic, he calls it the China flu. So you should be aware that the flu is from China. It's not from gain of function of Fauci. The vaccine is not dangerous. The vaccine is not the pandemic. I think it is. Oh, no, the vaccine is not the pandemic. It's China. China. And you should take that Trump shot. He said, why is the establishment willing to go this effing far to manipulate me into getting vaccinated? Why are they so against an alternative to the vaccine that they would tell such outrageous lies? That's what we're all wondering, right? He says, that's the problem. You know, they're doing all these things that make people suspicious. Any thinking person would be suspicious. Why isn't he suspicious of this? If it's good, you don't need to bribe people. You don't need to beat people into submission if it's good, if it's tested. Maybe Nolte should ask why so many frontline nurses who have treated people over the last year and a half, both with COVID and with vaccine injuries, why do so many doctors and nurses say, I will resign before I take that? I think it is financial pressure, and I think you're seeing the financial pressure much greater on the physicians than on the nurses, because the physicians, even if they didn't get into the medical practice because they wanted to just make money, they have such a, many of them early in their practice, they have such a financial burden that money issue becomes a really, really a big concern. As I said of a friend in Idaho, who got the vaccine working for, required to get it for AT&T. And the emergency room doctor wearing a mask said to his wife, as he's fighting for his life, it's the vaccine, but I can't say anything about that. Well, how do I get any help? I can't help you. If I do anything, I'm going to lose my job. It's that type of thing. I mean, that's what they turned the medical system into. You should be very afraid. I mean, the medical system, you already had a lot of very bad treatments that were out there. But, boy, this is on steroids now. There is an update to the story. Remember, I talked about, you got to remember three numbers, right? one of them is 251, or three words, coming out of Vietnam. That was a preprint paper coming from Oxford University, the people who created AstraZeneca. And they did a study in Vietnam, and in it, they said that they had 251 times the viral load in vaccinated people that they did in unvaccinated people. However, there is a clarification and a correction that needs to be made on that. What they did was they looked at the viral load of unvaccinated people from a year ago. And what they found was that the viral load this year of vaccinated people was 251 times greater than the unvaccinated people last year. Now, they blame it on the Delta variant. But I would suggest that maybe there's something else at play. So what they're saying is, well, we didn't compare vaccinated to unvaccinated. And so the article that I read to you was an article from Dr. Peter McCullough that appeared on childrenshealthdefense.org on the 23rd of August. And now these people have come out and said, well, that is an incorrect conclusion. They said, in our study, we compared viral loads inferred from PCR CT values. That brings up a whole other issue. And they said it was 251 times higher than those in people infected with the original strains. The differences in viral load were driven by the ability of the Delta variant to cause higher viral loads. It had nothing to do with the vaccination status of the infected individuals. Thus, the claim that the vaccinated individuals carry 251 times the load of SARS-CoV-2 in their respiratory tract compared with unvaccinated people is a misrepresentation of the data. Well, let me ask you this. This is being done by the University of Oxford that developed what became the AstraZeneca vaccine once the company that Bill Gates was associated with bought it and put their label on it. So these are the people that developed that vaccine. They're doing a study where they're looking at viral load. Now, the PCR test cannot distinguish the Delta variant from any other variant, if there is, in fact, a Delta variant. They cannot distinguish that. The PCR test does not do that. That's a separate test, a test that's not readily available. There's not many of them around. And the people who do the test, that test association says that. I've read you that article. It is also illegal for them to test for it and to tell you and other things like that. So you've had mainstream articles where they said people want to know if they got the Delta variant. Well, we can't tell you. There's a law against telling you. Why is there a law against that? And then they go further into it and they go, well, we don't really know. But we just know that that's what's happening because it's going up. Is there some other reason it could be going up? Is it going up because people are getting sick with a vaccine? Is that what you're calling the Delta variant, the vaccinated sickness? But it raises a lot of, it makes me very suspicious of this whole process, because if this is a company that has developed one of the major vaccines, the AstraZeneca vaccine, why would they not compare the viral load of unvaccinated people to vaccinated people this year? Why wouldn't they do that? Instead, what they say is that, well, this year, we're seeing people even that have been vaccinated, we're seeing a viral load that is 251 times greater than the unvaccinated people last year. But why wouldn't you look at unvaccinated people this year? Are you afraid of what you would find? Are you afraid that it would show, as we've seen over and over again, that the viral load in vaccinated people is equal to or greater than the unvaccinated people? See, folks, what we're talking about here is essentially statistical semantics. They don't look for what they are afraid they'll find. So they don't compare vaccinated to unvaccinated this year. And obviously, the unfortunate conclusion for them is that even when people are vaccinated, you're not seeing this have any effect. What we have seen from Vietnam is that they had essentially zero deaths in a country of 100 million people, essentially zero deaths throughout this entire so-called pandemic. It was not an epidemic there. And then as soon as they started vaccinating people, they started having hundreds of people a week die. They called it Delta. I can't prove this, just like I can't prove how the Twin Towers came down, but I can tell you that I smell a rat. And my personal conviction is, although again, I can't prove this, but what I believe is happening is all of what you see happening that they blame on the Delta variant or whatever, I think that is simply a manifestation of the adverse effects of these vaccines. So, again, moving on, the this is an article from Joel Hirschhorn, COVID Vaccine Dystopia, a manifesto, he says. With extensive data and expert assessment, this manifesto defines a vaccine dystopia. That's exactly where we are. Supposedly, it's the remedy for the virus, but this manifesto supports a different solution to the virus. Give greater attention and importance to a whole host of treatment protocols that can and should replace these unsafe vaccines. Another dimension to revolting against the vaccine dystopia is the need to reclaim personal medical freedom, your right to determine what medicine and vaccine is put into your body. And so he wrote this on Thursday of last week. And as he points out, whenever you see in the public limelight famous people dying from the shots, they could be sports figures, entertainment figures, political figures. Here's one that just came out. The 25-year-old daughter of Lord Young of Dartington. So they refer to her as one of the royals, tangentially, I guess. She died just hours after complaining of a severe headache. She'd been double vaxxed 6 months ago. And we keep hearing this over and over again. Well, you know, if the vaccine happened 6 months ago, well, that's, you know, nothing at all. Notice how they play the game. If you die immediately after getting the first shot, or even within 2 weeks of getting the second shot, you're considered to be unvaccinated. That's the way they play the game. Then, if and we've seen this happen several times. We've seen, like, Bob Odenkirk, who had a heart attack 6 months after he had his vaccines. The guy who plays Better Call Saul. And they said, well, it's been 6 months. Or this 25-year-old daughter of this English lord. And they said, well, it's been 6 months. We've seen that the the D-dimer test has shown that a lot of people have these micro blood clots. That isn't something that's necessarily going to go away. And when we talked about pandemics, that was one of the best documented adverse effects for vaccines. And, of course, that's what Fauci and Slowey put out for the swine flu epidemic of 2008-2009. After about a year, they started seeing it in kids because kids have a faster metabolism. They started seeing cases of narcolepsy and catalepsy in children, very, very well documented, a very serious condition, many of them now in their mid-20s committing suicide because they can't live a normal life. And that was diagnosed. It took a year for that to show up, and they were saying it doesn't usually show up that quickly. That's why it's hard to tie these vaccine injuries. Usually it takes years or decade for this kind of stuff to show up. So we're seeing if you have something that is happening immediately, they dismiss it as a coincidence or they call it unvaccinated. If it takes 6 months, half the time that it took for pandemics, they say, oh, well, that's too long. It's not connected. It doesn't matter. You know, whatever it is, they will explain it away as a coincidence or they will play statistics with it. Joel Hirschhorn says, we've not yet reached the critical inflection point where the many medical voices against vaccines will speak out. He said the voices are suppressed by big media, by their medical science arguments, and the data is ignored. And by the way, the title of this article, if you want to look for it, he sent this to me directly because I've interviewed Dr. Hirschhorn several times. The title, and it's been put up several different ways, several different sites, COVID Vaccine Dystopia, a manifesto by Dr. Joel Hirschhorn. So what he does in this article, in case you want to read it, he goes through and he lists a lot of medical professionals who have gone on record talking about this, because that is the key thing. They have had their voices suppressed by big media, so he tries to collect them together. That's the part of his manifesto. Talking about insanity, being proven wrong, destructive, and unhealthy, but continuing to do the same thing over and over again, trying to, expecting different results. So he says, we have to have some kind of a revolution in our thinking to overturn the multi-pronged vaccine empire. So he talks about, here's some of the people that he collects. This is not everybody, but physician J. Bart Klassen published an extremely valuable analysis. He examined clinical trial data from all three of the major vaccine manufacturers and found that their vaccines cause more harm than good. Highlights from the article, data were reanalyzed using the all-cause severe morbidity. This is a scientific measure of health as a primary endpoint. And so all-cause severe morbidity in his treatment group and control group is calculated by adding together all severe events reported in the clinical trials. So severe events included both severe infections with COVID-19 and all other severe adverse effects in the treatment arm and the control arm, respectively. This analysis gives a reduction in severe COVID-19 infections the same weight as an adverse event of equivalent severity. Results prove that none of the vaccines provide a health benefit, and all pivotal trials show a statistically significant increase in all-cause severe morbidity in the vaccinated group compared to the placebo group. In other words, he found that each of the vaccines caused more severe events in the immunized group than in the control group. There is no safety. So many actions, writes Joel Hirschhorn, are pure fraud, designed to deceive the public and to push a media story that makes unvaccinated people look bad. The trick used by the CDC that was revealed in some publications, but not in big media, is to count the deaths of fully vaccinated people as unvaccinated, again, if they die within that 14-day period. He said, back in January, there's a news story about the death of a 56-year-old Florida doctor, Gregory Michael. I remember reporting on that. Who died from a rare autoimmune disorder that he developed on December the 21st, 3 days after receiving the Pfizer vaccine. His wife said that in her mind, his death was 100% linked to the vaccine. And a doctor came forward publicly to say that he also believed that the vaccine caused the victim to develop ITP, idiopathic thrombocytopenic purpura, a blood disorder and a brain hemorrhage that killed him. Dr. Jerry Spivak, an expert on blood disorders at Johns Hopkins University, who was not involved in Dr. Michael's care, said, quote, I think it is a medical certainty that the vaccine was related. It happened, and it could happen again. And so we have a new report from Public Health England, and they report that for a period of time from February the 1st through August the 2nd, there were COVID Delta variant cases for 47,000 people who had received two vaccine doses and for 151,000 people who were unvaccinated. So 47,000 fully vaccinated and 151,000 unvaccinated. In the first group of vaccinated people, there was a total of 402 deaths. In the second, much larger group, with more than three times the number of people who were unvaccinated, there were just 253 deaths. So he says this is an amazing difference. The death rate among vaccinated was five times greater than for the unvaccinated. It should also be noted that it was determined that the measured viral load in both groups was the same. First, there is something very dangerous and unsafe in the COVID vaccines associated with the spike proteins that are causing people to die at a higher rate. And we know we've covered that many times. But this is a very good article because it goes through and it pulls back in a lot of the data as a collection. He said West Virginia saw a 25% increase in deaths of people fully vaccinated over the last 8 weeks. At the same time, it was reported in Massachusetts that 144 people fully vaccinated also died, an 80% increase from several weeks earlier. That's why I say I think the Delta, what they're calling the Delta, is simply the vaccine and the adverse effects associated with it. He goes on to write in conclusion, he says, the more you know about the vaccine data and science, the more likely you will be motivated to seek alternative treatments to the vaccine. And again, the vaccine is not even a treatment. It is intended to, viral vaccines are intended to train your immune system. It is absolutely no help to anyone, and anybody who gets sick, who goes into a hospital, they don't have any therapeutics for you in the hospital. They'll let you get sicker. You know, about the only thing they'll do for you is give you azithromycin for secondary bacterial infection like pneumonia, but they don't have a therapeutic. There are therapeutics available. You're just not going to be allowed to get it in the hospital. They'll block that from you while they put you on a ventilator for cash. Moderna's cash, speaking of cash, hits $15 billion. That's right, $15 billion. New vaccine details are released. Moderna has started submitting data for the evaluation of a third booster. And, of course, they're going to rubber stamp that by September 20th. They already know what date they're going to rubber stamp it by. And then they've got a single-dose booster vaccine for both COVID-19 and the flu, a combined shot. How about that? Now, they don't know which so-called variant you're going to have, just like they don't know which strain of the flu you're going to have. But this has always been the goal of Fauci and the CDC. CDC that makes a profit, has patents on these flu vaccines. They've always, every year, they played this same game with flu cases and flu deaths and so forth to browbeat people into getting their annual flu shot. And now they can mandate it.
Show me the money! Jared, you better go!
That's right. That's what this is about.
Money!
It's all about the money. Mainstream media cares more about you taking ivermectin than Biden eviscerating medical freedom. Headline from Free Thought Project. That really describes it, doesn't it? Again, it is a massive fraud but for the FDA to continue this whole horse thing. That is a bunch of horse excrement, if ever there was any. The FDA knows that this has been approved for human use. The federal government is giving it to all the people that they're bringing in from Afghanistan. And the only reason that anybody would be taking horse paste is because you have political officials who are threatening pharmacists, who are threatening doctors, who are trying to block you from getting this safe and effective medication. And again, the horse paste is not going to be manufactured to the same quality as the human pills. It's an act of desperation. Anybody that gets an overdose, the people to blame are the FDA, public health officials, politicians, the big pharmaceutical companies, and the people who are their shills in government, forcing people to try to find this stuff alternatively. So Biden, you know, as he's talking about these mandates, yeah, we've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin. Well, you know what? We've been pretty patient with you, but our patience is wearing thin as well. And I just want to reiterate that we've got to avoid taking the bait. Doug Wilson saw this. As I pointed out, I didn't go into detail reading his essay, but he pointed out, you know, do not take the bait. Do not get violent with these people. Do not initiate an attack on them. That is their game. They're the ones who do false flag attacks and then start wars in Afghanistan or Iraq or whatever, based on lies. If you start this, they will use that to finish everything. You do not want to fight their war. We have more powerful weapons. These people are evil. They're criminal. We have powerful weapons. We have the first thing you ought to do is pray. Prayer is a very powerful. It's not the last resort. Well, we haven't got anything left but a prayer. Nothing left but a prayer. Well, that was your first. That's your first option to start with. And again, if you don't think that prayer works, I would just suggest to you, read the autobiography of George Mueller, especially for the kind of economic times that many of us are going to be going through. And it's available in a couple of different versions. There was a very, very detailed one that he put together, and then a guy wanted to do a shorter one, and Mueller gave him the permission. He said, as long as I get to approve what you take out, because he didn't want him to trunk. So what he did was he talked about just certain events, but he would talk about them as completely as George Mueller did. And this is a guy who had no money at all. And he created this massive orphanage in the middle of the Industrial Revolution when Charles Dickens was writing all the stories about workhouses and homeless orphans that were, you know, in the streets. And there was a biography of him, the robber of mean streets or something like that. And he'd get these kids off the street. They were just abandoned on the streets and running wild. It was a big issue in London. And so he set up this orphan home. And one day Charles Dickens came to, he'd heard about it, started getting pretty famous because he had so many hundreds and hundreds of people. And again, it was God just meeting his need on a daily basis and kept growing this, bringing more children to him and then bringing the resources and doing it just in time. Well, you want to talk about just-in-time delivery? That was a system that was developed by God. Just-in-time inventory. Charles Dickens came to this facility, which by that time had grown really large, and he was very well known. You know, George Miller knew who he was, and he just pulled over a couple of the older students and said, "Here, show him around, and you know, let him see whatever he wants to see." He didn't take him. He didn't give him some kind of a curated tour where he could show him the best aspects of whatever was happening. You know, he had nothing to hide. It was working great. And they took him around and showed him everything, and he became a big financial supporter of George Mueller eventually. But, yeah, if you want to know if, you know, prayer actually works, I'd suggest that you look at that. It'd be something that'd be a real encouragement to you if you're going to be put in a situation where you have to make a principled decision and there's going to be an economic cost for you. Is can you really trust in that? You know, we have a testimony here from Dr. Zelenko, the Jewish doctor. He went to Israel, and he was trying to talk to them about, hey, you know, we have safe, effective, affordable treatments. And they're not only treatments, but they're also preventatives instead of this vaccine. And one of the things that he had to say was, he said, you know, God is asking us, who we're going to be, are we willing to put our trust in him? Zelenko was saying that. We don't even have a lot of Christian pastors who will say anything like that. So absolutely amazing to me. No, they trust, and vaccines we trust. Al Mohler, Southern Baptist Convention, and vaccines we trust. Mainstream media is in lockstep with the authoritarianism. ABC, CBS, NBC, WAPO, Washington Post, AP, MSNBC, CNN, all of them chose not to question Biden's unilateral decision to force Americans to undergo a medical procedure against their will. As a matter of fact, as I pointed out, you know, you look at CNN, you look at Politico, they don't even talk about it. I mean, not only not criticizing Trump or Biden, they don't even talk about it. They criticize Trump. They criticize Trump voters in rural America. Even USA Today, as I pointed out, oh, yeah, he's just pushing people to get vaccinated. He's just trying to help us. You know, he's not trying to set up a system of medical dictatorship. As the Free Thought Project points out, ivermectin is safer than aspirin. Yeah, you know, you can get some very serious side effects from aspirin, especially kids. We have to ask ourselves, why a media whose job used to be to hold those in power accountable, why has that media resorted to demonizing individuals for their personal medical choices? Caitlin Johnstone in Australia said, quote, "There's more public criticism of ordinary people taking ivermectin than there is of a planet-dominating power structure that is driving humanity to Armageddon." Given the insanely partisan nature of the pandemic, writes Free Thought Project, one cannot help but wonder what would have happened if Trump, who began Operation Warp Speed to fast-track the vaccine, what if Trump had beaten Biden? It is indeed likely that Trump would be pushing the same mandates and the GOP supporting the demonization of those who advocate medical freedom. And I'm telling you, that's exactly right. I said that before the election. I say it again. This is a guy who, in spite of everything that is happening, and all the people who have died, who have been seriously injured, in the VAERS database, in the UK database, in the European database, that only has half of the countries in the European database. In spite of all that, Trump is still telling people to get a vaccine, still talking about it as his greatest achievement. And he's right, because it's his only achievement. The only thing he did was to lay precedence for the globalists and to create this vaccine that's being used to kill people around the world. That's his legacy, and he's proud of it. It was just late last year when the left was saying that they were not taking any vaccines that were rushed to market by the orange man bad. But once Biden became the teleprompter reader, everything changed, because that's what this is all about. A news outlet has retracted a story claiming that ivermectin causes male infertility. This is the third time the media has had to retract a story about ivermectin in just the last week. In just the last week. Again, a drug that, while the FDA is railing about this, they're giving it to the Afghans that they're bringing into this country. In Australia, the regulator there has banned ivermectin as a COVID-19 treatment, because again, it's off-label, a decision that they will regret, say many people. And yes, that is absolutely true. So these higher doses, they said, can be associated with serious adverse effects, including severe nausea, vomiting, dizziness, neurological effects such as dizziness and seizures and coma. Well, I tell you that if you'd had anybody go into a seizure or a coma, it would have been all over the global media. If you'd had a single person in Australia or Canada or the U.S. or the U.K., anywhere, come down with those types of symptoms from ivermectin, they would have trumpeted it everywhere. If you had a single person who had died, they would not say, well, it's just a coincidence, or it was comorbidity, or it wasn't ivermectin, it was something else. They would have put it everywhere. It's the same people who go to such great lengths to ignore anybody that any of these serious things happen to with the vaccines. Boys are at more risk from the COVID shots than they are from COVID itself. Teenage boys are more at risk, up to more likely to suffer heart problems. As a matter of fact, education editor in the UK says teenage boys are 6 times more likely to suffer from heart problems from the vaccine than to be hospitalized from COVID-19, a major study has found. This is also picked up by Information Liberation. They have the quotes from education editor in case you're trying to find that. And I mention all this because I want people to know the sources of this so they can go and get more information. And I have a lot of people who ask me things like that, and it's hard for me to respond to everybody doing that. So this is the source if you want to get more information. But this is a team at the University of California investigated the rate of cardiac myocarditis, heart inflammation, and chest pain in children aged 12 to 17 following their second dose. They said they compared that to the likelihood of children needing hospital treatment owing to COVID-19, and they found that you're 6 times more likely to have a heart attack than to have to go in the hospital because of COVID-19 for that age group. And yet when they put you in the hospital, you know, pictures I was seeing of early on, one guy, football player, he'd had a heart attack. It took him a while to convince them to get them to admit that he was even having a heart attack. He goes, no, it can't be. No, you're young, you're healthy, you've only had a vaccine. You know, they can't blame it on anything else. They can blame it on a lot of other things for anybody who's older. But you got somebody who's in high school, an athlete, and they get a heart attack right after a vaccine. So they just say it's rare. And then they put that kid in a hospital bed and took a picture of him with a mask over his face. You don't put a mask over the face of somebody who's had a heart attack. You're giving them oxygen if you care anything about them. And then he was saying, yeah, I wouldn't tell anybody not to get it. Meanwhile, the risk of a healthy boy needing hospital treatment in the next 120 days is 26.7 per million. That means the risk they face from heart complications is 6 times greater than that of hospitalization from COVID. If the goal is to prevent infection, Cornell University has gotten a 95% vaccination rate. Think about this, 95% in that population. Now, could we do a study off of that? Because, you know, most of your studies don't have a study group that is bigger than a university's population. Well, I don't know. So they got 95% who've been vaccinated because of the aggressive browbeating from Cornell. It's not as bad as it is in some of these other universities where they won't even let you use Zoom or have Wi-Fi access. You know, they're just going to kick you out completely for that. They said during the first week of school that ran from August the 27th to September 2nd of the academic year, Cornell reported 322 positive COVID-19 cases. In comparison, during the first week of school last year, which ran from September the 3rd through September the 9th, Cornell reported 59 positive cases. The increase in positive cases cannot be attributed to an increase in testing. In fact, more tests were administered in the first week last fall. So after they got all of the students vaccinated up to a 95% rate, the number of positive COVID cases was 322 compared to just 59 last year. This is why I say when you look at that study coming out of Vietnam by the vaccine producer, Oxford, people who created the AstraZeneca vaccine, they're saying, well, viral loads and we got hospitalizations and deaths are now shooting up. We didn't have any of this stuff last year, right? Oh, it's the Delta variant. Oh, it's the vaccine. It started right when they started vaccinating people. And they are very careful not to compare the viral load or the hospital load of the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated this year. If you're going to do a study, wouldn't you think you would do that? I think they did do that. I think they don't want you to know what they did. So as I said, Vladimir Zelenko, and this is the Orthodox Jewish doctor who was the one who reasoned that, you know, hey, we need to have zinc is going to be very strong in terms of antiviral. But as he pointed out in his testimony, the thing that activates it, that makes it effective, and this is one of the reasons why they did these studies without zinc. They just gave people HCQ, right? So first of all, make sure you get zinc. But the other aspect of this is that by having some of these other things, and he's got a list of them that he gave people, he said, you know, you can have quercetin, you can have EGCG, which is a green tea extract, hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin. These things are what he calls zinc ionophores. And he says zinc really cannot get into your cell on its own. So that's where the concept of the zinc ionophores come in. Zinc ionophores open the door to the cell membrane. They allow for time for the zinc to go from outside the cell to inside the cell. When you increase the concentration of zinc inside the cell, then it can effectively inhibit this enzyme, stopping most, if not all, coronaviruses and influenza viruses from replicating. And again, as I pointed out, you know, my friend who had COVID, by the way, he said, I'm taking my test. I'm going to frame it. I'm going to stick it on the wall and say, I've got natural immunity now. Leave me alone. Not doing anything else. I've got my certificate. He's done, graduated from fifth grade and from COVID University. He's graduated. He's got their certificate. He said, I never framed my college diploma, but I'm going to frame this thing. I'm going to carry it anywhere I need to. But, you know, you can go to America Frontline Doctors. They'll give you a resource that charges $90. They're not doing it, but they can give you a link to people that do it online. They have one there. They'll charge you $90 for a consultation. Then you can get a prescription, and you don't have to use the veterinary sources, which may be contaminated. They're not designed for human use. But what Zelenko did, if you recall the very beginning of this, he came in, he said, I've treated 1,000 people in my small community, and I've done it with HCQ and with zinc, because HCQ, again, as he points out, it's an ionophore. It helps to activate the zinc, let it get inside the cell. And he said, we haven't had anybody that's gotten seriously ill. Nobody's died. Nobody's even gone to the hospital with this. And boy, and he was in New York. They got really upset about that. The local city council tried to shut him down. People have come after him all over the place. But he went to Israel. Again, he's an Orthodox Jewish guy. And so he went to Israel because he's concerned about what they're doing in terms of turning that country into a lab, as the CEO of Pfizer said. He said, Israel is our laboratory, and they were their laboratory. They have given them carte blanche to browbeat people with this. They said, we'll collect the data for you for 2 years, which is what you would do with a real test before you would put it out in the general population. But instead, they put it out in the general population, then they do a deal with the state of Israel to use their own people as guinea pigs and to force them into this study. So he said, my team has directly treated successfully now 6,000 patients. I've trained hundreds of physicians who are now training their students, and as a cumulative group, we've treated millions of patients successfully. Listen to this. He says, President Trump was my patient. Rudy Giuliani was one of my patients. Now, I've never heard this before. You know, Trump was singing the praises of the vaccines. I don't know if he got one. He says he did. Do you believe him? He was singing the praises. He's told, oh, yeah, I got COVID, and they gave me remdesivir. Well, Zelenko said he gave him some stuff. And so they used it to push remdesivir, which a lot of people said they've now pulled it back in Europe after spending billions of dollars to buy it from Fauci's friend. Fauci ran the bogus study and pronounced it the standard of care, even though it didn't meet any of the metrics that they use for pronouncing something a standard of care. But so when President Trump, he says, was my patient, Rudy Giuliani was one of my patients. He says, I'm just telling you, the people who have contacted me from CARE include President Bolsonaro of Brazil. By the way, I look at the transcripts to try to come up with the time codes each day. You know, when I put out the full show or I put out the podcasts, we always put a, try to give you an idea, because it's such a long podcast, the different topics that we're talking about, different places. And so I get some very comical things sometimes when it does a transcript. When I talked about Bolsonaro, it changed his name to Bows and Arrows. And I thought it was especially funny because I was talking at the time about how he was encouraging everybody to get a gun. So Bows and Arrows tells everybody to get a gun. Some of the other ones that have come out, I had one day I said something, I don't know why, I said something about a prodigal son. And it translated that as party girl son. I thought, well, that's a pretty good translation. Maybe that makes more sense to most people than prodigal, right? Yeah, he was a party girl son. But he came back. Anyway, getting back to this. Anytime you evaluate any therapeutic, says Zelenko in his testimony there in Israel, he says, anytime you evaluate any therapeutic, you need to look at three perspectives. Number one, is it safe? Does it work? And do you need it? So it's not just safety and efficacy, but it's do you need it? Just because you have the capability doesn't mean that you have to use it. It has to be a medical necessity. There has to be a need for it. Look at the CDC statistics for children under the age of 18 that are healthy. The survival rate is 99.998% survival rate with no treatment. As a matter of fact, for the kids who didn't have any comorbidities, it was 100% survival rate. But anyway, the principle that he's talking about here, that Dr. Zelenko is talking about, is first, do no harm. Why, unless it was entirely a mercenary consideration, would you give a treatment, even if it was relatively safe? Why would you give that to a kid? Because there isn't anything that comes without any risk or any possible side effects for some people. So why would you give them something to treat a disease for which they have no risk, except money? That's why I say it's financially incentivized medical malpractice in so many different ways. If you have a demographic, he said, that has no risk of dying from an illness, why would you inject them with a poison death shot? Let's see how this thing works. In two countries, he said, that have the most vaccinated citizens, the first two, he says, Israel is 85%, and Seychelles is over 80%. Both countries experienced a Delta variant outburst. So let me ask you a question. If you vaccinated the majority of your population, why are you still having an outbreak? He said, that's number one. Number two, why would you give a third shot of the same stuff that didn't work the first two times? Right? Whether or not it works. So let's do a third shot of this. This is about nothing other than money. You're going to vaccinate kids who have a zero risk. You're going to give people a third shot of something that you already said doesn't work both times and is obviously not working for your so-called Delta variant. And again, I don't think it's a Delta variant. I think this is adverse effects from the vaccines. That's my personal opinion based on all the stuff I've read here and the fact that they're not testing for the Delta variant. They're just presuming it's the Delta variant. According to the New England Journal of Medicine article, their preliminary data that miscarriage rates in the first trimester, it says, I want you to understand what I just said. Miscarriage rates in the first trimester pregnant women when they get vaccinated goes up by a factor of eight. So these young boys are going to have a six times greater risk of heart issues than they would have, and dying than they would from COVID. And, of course, even if they don't die from myocarditis, heart injury is permanent. It's going to be something that's going to affect them the rest of their life. I said that from the very beginning. I said, look at the risks of things like scarlet fever or rheumatic fever, things like that, viruses that people got over. And I don't know if it's a virus or a bacteria, but anyway, those diseases. And kids would get those things, but then they would suffer the rest of their life with heart issues. And then Dr. Lee Merritt said, whenever you have a heart attack or whatever, that doesn't recover. So why are they just dismissing myocarditis in young people caused by these vaccines? But in terms of miscarriages, in the first trimester, goes up by a factor of eight. He says, let's do a thought experiment. If COVID-19 were to infect every single human being on the planet and was not to be treated, what would be the overall global death rate? The answer is less than 1%. That's what we've seen from the case fatality rates, even from these, you know, from the CDC. He says, I'm not advocating for that, by the way, but that's a lot of people still. Now, what is going to be the death rate from the global vaccination? That's going to be several orders of magnitude greater, and it actually depends on how far out you look, because if someone's meant to live 80 years and they live 60 years, how do you quantify that? He said, we're talking about 1.5 to 2 billion people dying for no reason except the agendas of a few psychopaths and sociopaths. Why do I say that? It's because there have been so many people advocating for population reduction for decades. I just saw a video from the from UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson's father advocating for the reduction of England's population to 15 million people. That's about 20 to 25% of the current population. So, you know, let's reduce it by 75 to 80%. This type of ideology exists. And this generation, said Zelenko, is generally not anti-Semitic. What it is there's a small group of sociopaths that believe they've evolved into superhuman enlightened state that entitles them to the right to dictate the course of history. For example, Bill Gates in 2015 said the world population needs to be reduced by a certain percentage because of global warming or whatever. So my question is a very simple question. Here's one of the main supporters and profiteers of global vaccination. Why would I take a vaccine for my health from somebody who is advocating for reducing the world's population? He says, if you follow the advice of some of the global leaders, let's say like Bill Gates last year, 7 billion people need to be vaccinated and the death rate over 2 billion people. So wake up. This is World War III. This is a level of malfeasance and malevolence that we've not seen probably in the history of humanity. So I'm against child sacrifice. I'm against the building, what we're building now. And I really believe that God is testing every human being. And here's the test. Are you going to bow down to me? Or are you going to ask for your protection for me? Or are you going to take your feet and your fears and you're going to ask help from somebody that you run to? That's exactly right. So he went on to say, there's been a very coordinated effort to suppress life-saving information, such as hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin. He says, you can't even get them in Israel. He says, and then tell me why there's this incredible coercion. Why is there this psychological pressure? And now using force to compel people to take the shot. He said, you should be answering that question, he said to the panel. And the panel comes back and says, well, it appears the United States is not showing the numbers that you're saying either. Zelenko came back to them and said, now you started. There's data that shows as of today 11,000 dead people, 450,000 adverse events in the U.S. alone. Is that not enough? What is your threshold of death? They said, well, no, just one death. And he says, okay, VAERS already has admitted to that. There's a CDC whistleblower that said it's not 11,000, but it's 45,000. Is that not enough? So right now, if I tell you that this is an artificially made bioweapon, that it's a conspiracy and not a theory, everyone agrees now that the disease was artificially made. Can you understand that this thing was artificially made? Can you understand that it was funded research by DARPA? They've been planning on this for a long time. He said, and some of the other things that he was pointing out here, he said, I know that Benjamin Netanyahu did this. I gave him this information. I put it in his hand. And then we have Sanjay Gupta over the weekend asking Fauci about the Israeli study showing that natural immunity is 13 times better than the vaccine. He said to Fauci, why should anyone get vaccinated if they have immunity from a prior COVID infection? And Fauci said, I don't really have an answer for you on that. Yeah, he doesn't have an answer. He just has dictates for us. We'll be right back.
Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and Trovo every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show, at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via or donate via Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box. Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country as well as our family.
If you like the Eagles,
on a dark desert highway,
the Cars,
let's go,
and Huey Lewis in the News,
they say the hotter rock and roll is still beating.
You'll love the Classic Hits channel at APS Radio. Download our app or listen now at APSradio.com.
All right, let's talk a little bit about some of the ceremonies that happened over the weekend. We had George Bush had something to say. Listen to his comments.
The security measures incorporated into our lives are both sources of comfort and reminders of our vulnerability. And we have seen growing evidence that the dangers to our country can come not only across borders, but from violence that gathers within. There is little cultural overlap between violent extremists abroad and violent extremists at home. But in their disdain for pluralism, in their disregard for human life, in their determination to defile national symbols, they are children of the same foul spirit, and it is our continuing duty to confront them.
Yeah, all of these children who are of the same foul spirit, and we're talking about people like Clapper, Brennan, Hayden, calling us, half of the country, we are the American Taliban, we are domestic terrorists. And of course, the children of that foul spirit includes people like the Bush family, people like Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton loved his speech, congratulated him on != it, but a lић================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================````================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================````================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================````================================================================================================================================================````================================================================================================================================````================================================================================================================================````================================================================================================================````================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================````================================================================================================================================````================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================````==
upside down and changing it to January the 6th, 1-6. Violent extremists at home, children of the same foul spirit as the 9/11 terrorists. This was an article that was put out on September 11th by Breitbart. They misquoted him, however. You just heard it. He said there is little cultural overlap between violent extremists abroad and violent extremists at home, but in its disdain for pluralism, is what he said. They quote it in their article, in its disdainful pluralism. It's not disdainful pluralism. I mean, if you talk about disdainful pluralism, you might think that he's talking about Antifa and BLM. And you have some people who said, wait a minute, which group is he talking about? I think they were genuinely confused because they probably were getting their information from Breitbart. Even CNN got it right. His disdain and their disdain for pluralism. See, George Bush thinks pluralism is a great thing. He's a globalist. He calls these, you know, anybody who isn't a globalist, he calls them nativists. So he holds up his what he calls pluralism, this kind of multiculturalism, this anti-nationalism. And by the way, you know, when you look at the results of this, I've talked about this many times, it used to be that you have now have a homogenization of Europe, but it's accelerating with the common government, with the EU and other things like that. And what they're doing is they're eradicating all of these differences. You had a very, very rich tapestry of different languages, different culture, different architecture and art and all the music and all the rest of the stuff. I mean, when I went to Europe in 1973, I was just absolutely amazed at how you would travel just a little tiny distance here. You know, I mean, here in Texas, I got to drive for like 8 hours to get somewhere that's not even really very different to Oklahoma or something, you know. But there you would take a short drive and all of a sudden you'd just be, you know, in a completely different world. But now that is starting to homogenize. Instead of respecting all these different cultures, they're rejecting all of them and they're substituting for them a kind of dumbed down, gray, monolithic thing that I wouldn't even identify as culture. So he's talking about, you know, pluralism, we have to love that, and talking about people, their determination to defile national symbols. He's not talking about Antifa burning American flags. He's talking about some people going in, being let in by security guards and making speeches inside the Capitol. He says they're children of the same foul spirit, and we have to confront them. Again, they got that wrong. He was not saying it's disdainful pluralism. He said their disdain for pluralism. At a time when nativism could have stirred hatred and violence against people perceived as outsiders, I saw Americans, when he was president, reaffirm their welcome to immigrants and refugees. I mean, we loved them so much, we went abroad seeking how we could kill them in Afghanistan and Iraq. So they reprinted this the next day, and they still had the quote wrong at Breitbart. It still had it in there as disdainful pluralism. Still wrong. But they started collecting the statements of a lot of different people, and they came up with a headline at Breitbart. It said, outrage over Bush's 9/11 speech attacking American extremists. Americans are the new terrorists. And so they had a reaction to that. One person said, and this guy is a congressional candidate, he is a retired Army Special Forces Chief Warrant Officer. His name is Joe Kent. He said the only place that Bush should be on 9/11 is answering to the American people for all of his lies. Instead, he's just showing us that the regime is not just one party. It's the ruling class that despises us and is not done exploiting us. Well, good for him. Joe Kent knows exactly what he's talking about. Again, he's running for Congress in Washington State. George W. Bush, the man who brought us torture, indefinite detention, assassination, and mass surveillance, rebukes those who've turned their backs on the, quote, America I know, wrote journalist Matt Taibbi. Yeah, when you look at what this guy had to say, it is absolutely amazing. After 20 years of a war on terror abroad, George W. Bush wants to now fight a new one against his fellow citizens, wrote journalist Greg Price. True. You'd think he was talking about Antifa, but he's really talking about you, said national security analyst and Claremont Institute senior fellow David Reboy. This is from columnist Kurt Schlichter. He said, Bush gave a speech on 9/11 today, and all I heard was that guys like me, who went to war under him and his father, were a terrorist threat to our country. Marjorie Taylor Greene, again, maybe she's reading Breitbart because of, you know, disdainful pluralism. She said, was George Bush referring to the domestic terrorism organized through Antifa and BLM riots all over our country? I certainly hope so. No, he wasn't. Bill Clinton, however, said it was a powerful speech, and he said, thank you, my friend, for your powerful, much-needed words on a difficult day. David Axelrod, longtime Democrat operative and working for Obama, said Bush is right. Many of the same people who are clamoring about the threat of terrorism from abroad are ignoring and even enabling the more urgent threat of domestic terrorism like the insurrection of 1-6. 1-6. Babylon Bee had it this way. Showed a picture of Bush. Said the guy who started two wars calls for civility. Yes, I may have started two foreign wars on false pretenses that wasted trillions of dollars and killed hundreds of thousands of innocent people. However, it's important to understand the real threats to our great nation are the people who took selfies at the Capitol building a few months ago. Those Trump supporters are children of the same foul spirit as Al-Qaeda, and they must be brought to justice. That's exactly what he did say. They put it in their satire. That's exactly what he effectively said. And who is it that turned the USA into a police surveillance state? Who was it that created the Department of Der Fatherland, which is now turned against domestics? Right? I said that from the very beginning. This is not about what happened abroad. This is about what they're going to do to America. Yeah, there was an America that I knew. The America that I knew was destroyed by George W. Bush and people of his ilk in both parties. Both parties. It was really hard telling people who were Republicans about George W. Bush. They didn't want to hear it. You know, he had, especially Christians that I knew, boy, he had much better Christian credentials than a Trump, who has none. You know, so they look, come on, you know, he's a genuine guy. He's got integrity. He's got. They just didn't want to hear it. It's like, no, Christians don't do what he just did. I mean, I'm not judging the guy, but you know, God will ultimately, he will ultimately judge whose sins he's forgiven based on whether they trust him or not. But when I look at a pattern of behavior that kills and kills and kills and kills, when I look at a mass murderer who is unrepentant, I would not offer any. If I was playing the role of Ray Comfort, I would not give any comfort to George W. Bush, quite frankly. This is just beyond the pale when we look at this. But I had these arguments with Christians about George W. Bush. Well, I got some of them really angry with me. I said, you know, he's just a murderer. He's just a mass murderer. He's a person who lied us into wars. Oh, no, he's a good guy. You think he's worse than the Clintons? I think the Clintons think he's one of them. I think they're all part of the same club. And we're going to have the same discussion a few years from now about Trump. We'll still be having that discussion. I still get people that are arguing with me about Trump. You don't realize the precedents that Trump set with all this stuff? Based on my Friday program, I had some people contact me about 9/11. One person said, where did the towers go? Have you ever heard of directed energy weapons? I think that this is based on what Dr. Judy Wood has said. I think this is a deliberate testing of directed energy weapon. And all the periphery actors are probably recruited for the cover-up narrative. Well, that I would say is a given. People like Rudy Giuliani and these other people, they were part of the cover-up, absolutely. And subsequent presidents, including Trump, part of the cover-up. But I just have to say, I didn't talk about directed energy weapons, controlled explosives and so forth. I mean, there's a lot of different ways. I mean, it looks like a demolition. You had people who said it went bang, 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 bang. I played some demolitions for you when it went bang, 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 bang. I don't believe the NIST report that was the floors hitting each other. I think that was charges that were going off, simultaneously taking the structure out. That's what the simulation showed. Now, perhaps it could have been done with a directed energy weapon. I'll just say this. I don't have the tools to do an investigation. All I can say is that if you want to simplify this, let's say you got a murder, and let's say that I'm a journalist and I'm looking at an indictment of somebody that they're getting ready to put in the electric chair. And I start to investigate this and I say, well, wait a minute, you got the wrong person. This guy wasn't even in town that day. We got, you know, showing that he was completely somewhere across the country. That's not possible. He can't be the murderer. Well, then you got to tell me who the murderer is. It's like, I don't know who the murderer is, but you got the wrong story here and you're about to kill somebody. That's what I've been saying about 9/11. I don't know who pulled this off. I just know that when you see Building 7 being pulled down that wasn't even hit, we see three skyscrapers collapsing at free fall, steel skyscrapers, after two of them have been hit and you got a little, you got a fire and so forth, that just isn't going to, that does not, and many, many other things as I talked about on Friday. I'm not going to go down the whole catalog again. But I know what did not happen. I don't know what did happen. I don't have the ability to do investigations. But back in 2006, George W. Bush had this to say.
As soon as Congress acts on this bill, the men our intelligence agencies believed helped orchestrate the 9/11 attacks can face justice. bill would also provide clear rules for our personnel involved in detaining and questioning captured terrorists. The information that the Central Intelligence Agency has obtained by questioning men like Khalaik Sheikh Mohammed has provided valuable information and has helped disrupt terrorist plots, including strikes within the United States. For example, Khalaik Sheikh Mohammed described the design of planned attacks on buildings inside the U.S. and how operatives were directed to carry them out. That is valuable information for those of us who have the responsibility to protect the American people.
Listen to this. Here it comes.
He told us the operatives have been instructed to ensure that the explosives went off at a point that was high enough to prevent people trapped above from escaping. That the explosives went off at a point that was high enough to prevent people trapped above from escaping.
Yeah, you get the idea? He said explosives high enough to keep people trapped above from escape. And it kind of threw him off. Threw him off his cadence. Threw him off of that. He had a little bit of a Freudian slip there talking about explosives. Anyway, this is also sent to me from a listener. After walking over the 59th Bridge onto Queens Boulevard and getting picked up around 10:30 p.m. on Long Island Expressway, watching the first report at home, CBS I think, from the Pentagon, from a reporter on the highway pointing to the hole in the Pentagon saying, "Looking at the Pentagon, there is no evidence of a 757 caused that destruction." A small shuttle bus pulls up and a few dozen men pile out in gray suits to pick up missile parts, LOL. Then Shanksville, Pennsylvania, showed the same kind of plainless, smoldering hole. Not even a suitcase was found, LOL. They said it hit so hard that it buried itself. He said, "It's clear to me, as clear as day to me, on September 12th, around 1 a.m. in front of my television set, something was very, very wrong here. My life has never been the same since understanding this was homegrown. Every 9/11 anniversary makes me angry as hell." That's from Sean. The FBI, however, now has released, declassified, a report showing Saudi 9/11 links. Let's talk about this. Notice this wasn't done under Trump, right? Oh, we were going to have full disclosure. You know, Trump's going to expose the dark state, the deep state, and he knows what happened at 9/11. Yeah, he probably talked to Rudy, didn't he? Rudy knows. Rudy's the cover-up king. Rudy is a murderer in his own right, based on people's lives that were lost during the cover-up removal of evidence without masks, doing it very quickly. But what has been released now, the FBI has released a 16-page summary that, according to mainstream media and Breitbart, is an overview of FBI interview done in 2015 with a man who had frequent contact with Saudi nationals in the U.S., who supported the first hijackers to arrive in the country before the attacks. I would just suggest to you that what you're seeing now, as they're starting to release little breadcrumbs saying, yeah, more Saudi involvement, I think what you're seeing here is the fact that there is no honor among thieves, no honor certainly among murderers, or amongst co-conspirators. And I think that it is safe for them to throw some of this stuff out, to throw people off the trail. Will there be any information? As a matter of fact, none of these reports talking about, oh, yeah, now we know it's the Saudis. Oh, look, it puts to bed any doubts about Saudi complicity, they say. So now we can blame it on the Saudis after we've gone to war with the Afghans and the Iraqis. Now we can blame it on the Saudis. But, folks, do any of these articles talking about how we've now had declassified information by the FBI, do you trust anything that comes out of the FBI? I simply do not. I do not believe. I would no more believe the FBI than I would believe a statistic coming from the CDC or something out of the mouth of Fauci. And do you see any of these articles where they talk about Tim Osman? Tim Osman. That was the name that the Pentagon, the CIA, gave to Osama bin Laden as they took him around touring military bases in the Pentagon and all these other things. Tim Osman. Let me tell you what the real connection is that they don't want to talk about. It's not the Saudis. The real connection to 9/11 is the CIA and the FBI itself. And so the FBI gives you some breadcrumbs. This is nothing other than a red herring, in my opinion. It doesn't put to bed any doubts. Instead, it just is business as usual for these liars at the FBI. You know, I have Donald Trump and his son now are going to be providing commentary for a boxing match. And I think they're much better suited to a professional wrestling commentary. I mean, Trump has had experience doing, staged professional wrestling stuff. You've seen the pictures where he comes out and they're banging on each other. And it's just as phony as all this talk about how Trump was going to declassify and expose the deep state and 9/11 and the fact that he's on a different team. This is all professional wrestling. It's all heroes and heels. Good guys, bad guys. That kind of simplistic binary division here. Biden's hasty Kabul airstrike is shaping up to be an ugly war crime, staining America's honor. That's the headline from WND. And it's absolutely true. I talked about this briefly, didn't get into a great deal because we needed to have a little bit more time for the information to come out, and now the information has come out. There's been more investigations. At first, the Pentagon said, oh yeah, look at this. You know, they blew up 13 Marines there. And again, I told you that we had sources on the inside saying they actually had a countdown. They actually had a countdown. They were told to stand down. They had the guy in the crosshairs to take him out from a drone strike. They knew the exact time, the exact place. They even had a countdown. They knew where the guy was coming, and they told them to stand down. Whether or not the Marines were told to stand down. Again, you know, a friend of mine who was in the Marines for quite some time, got out 2010. He said, that's one of the key things. They really hit you training you to spot suicide bombers and to take them out without stopping. Did they change the rules of engagement? He can't get anybody to respond to that. Now, I understand it's a chaotic situation that was set up there at the airport. And that was a failure of planning, a failure of command, a failure of Biden telling them, we're going to, we got to get out of the Bagram and so forth, and a failure of Milley, all the rest of these people. The fact that they were even there at the Kabul airport was insane. And the fact that they abandoned the dead of night without telling any of the Afghans, Bagram Air Force Base, that caused a stampede to the exits by all the Afghans. So the whole thing was idiotic. But it was idiotic for us to be there in the first place. We were lied into this by the lies of 9/11, and we were kept there for 20 years. We did not leave. We were thrown out. We lost that war, as we have lost every asymmetric war. And so to save face from this horrific comedy of errors that resulted in the death of 13 Marines and left behind who knows how many Americans, they don't even bother to count. Biden does a strike and says, we took out one of their leaders. And then people came back and said, you just destroyed a family. Their reply was, there were multiple explosions. Turns out that was not true. You had Major General William Taylor at the time shown briefing at the press at the Pentagon. He tells reporters the strike set off, quote, significant secondary explosion from the targeted vehicle, indicating the presence of a substantial amount of explosive materials. In other words, we got a guy who was a bomber. Mark Milley, chair of the Joint Chiefs, echoed his remarks. Yet, a senior military official has now said it was only possible to probable that explosives in the car caused another blast. And then reporters who investigated brought three explosive experts to the scene, and they all agreed that the damage was consistent with a single explosion followed by a fire rather than a secondary explosion. The narrator said all of this matches what the eyewitnesses told us, that a single missile exploded and triggered a large fire. Who did they kill? a U.S. NGO aide, a guy who is an engineer working with an organization that fights malnutrition, and seven children, not ISIS-K. ISIS-K, about as rational as a Delta variant. That's it for the broadcast. Thank you for listening. Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.